much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Boys and girls, your attention, please. Presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
We were talking about marijuana.
We still are. Marijuana is the flame. Heroin is the fuse. LSD is the bomb. You may sell that jazz to another pothead, but not to somebody who spends most of their time holding some sick kid's head while he vomits and retches sitting on a curbstone at 4 o'clock in the morning. And when his knees get enough starch back in him so he can stand up and empty his pockets, you can bet he'll turn out a stick or two on marijuana. And you can double your money, he'll be holding a sugar cube or a cap or two. So don't you con me with your mind expansion slob. I deal with kids every day. I try to clean up the mess that people like you make out of them. I'm the expert here. You're not.
And now,
please welcome Ryan Seacrest.
Our feature presentation.
Hello? Hey, everybody.
Monkey?
Hey, how's it going?
What's happening?
Are we already on?
Yes.
Well,
the show just started.
Why wouldn't someone tell me?
Well, usually right after our feature presentation, that's when you come on and go, hey.
I was telling Chip a lovely, lovely story.
Okay.
And we were enjoying ourselves.
I'm sure that was better than whatever we were going to put on the radio anyway.
That's correct.
Hey, hi, Allie McKay.
Oh, hi.
You okay?
Yeah.
Just
How
early?
Are you? Doing good.
Okay. Look, I know we're going to talk about it all day. I know it's the top story. I know, Ralph's going to be covering it throughout showbiz. I know we'll be talking, playing highlights later. Why does the Oscars have to feel like punishment? Why is it not a show that you can just tune in and you can watch it and you can go, hey, that was a lot of fun. I can't wait to see that again next year. Why does it bludgeon you?
I think I came up with an answer last night, and that
Please.
Is because everybody was talking about how, hey, is this Oscars going to be popular because a lot of people didn't see a lot of the nominated movies.
Mm-hmm.
There were many, many categories that if I wanted to watch movies, I wouldn't know where to get those. Short stories, short documentaries, all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Like, I'm into movies. I probably try to go once a weekend. I love movies, and mm-hmm. yet probably – you know, 9/10 of the movies last night, I'd never heard of.
You're wow. the opposite of me. You go to movies.
I do. I go to a lot of movies.
I don't.
So you didn't recognize anything.
No, not a thing.
Did Except you? For the big ones.
Did you?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about those short films and short
no.
this and live action that? And...
No, you gotta be a movie completist to seek those out. It's not like decades ago where they would show short movies and animated movies, cartoons before a feature. I mean, if they doubled them up with other movies that are in theaters, that might be a good way to make exposure.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
But my problem, and I know I complain this every year, and Ralph makes a valid argument that you can't make movies without a lot of these people. My problem is the sound mixing and the visual effects and all of the hair and makeup and all those. I say put all those on the pre-televised week before, all of them.
Except just costumes.
Costumes are fine. Costumes are fine. Yeah.
Costumes are awesome.
Yeah.
But it just, I mean, the few moments that I loved last night, like the Everything is Awesome, for instance, and even the Sound of Music tribute, I thought was so beautifully done. How about some entertainment on the show instead of just lots of boring people in boring categories reading boring lists?
It was poorly written.
It is
poorly
punishing.
Written.
Punishing. And that, I mean, and then, you know, we'll talk more later about, the problems of being a host on that show and what a difficult, almost impossible job that is to do well and kind of sustain any kind of momentum and pacing for that length of time. But it's just, and it starts so late. How do the people in the East survive a show like that?
I don't know.
When we thought we had it bad.
Well, yeah. After midnight, you know, why don't they start it earlier? It's Sunday, for God's sakes. It's not, you know, it's not like we're up against football. Start it early. It's just, it's so frustrating every year.
If you had to pick one, the best moment of the Oscars, what would it be?
That's a great question. There were several highlights for me.
You only get to pick one right this second.
The best? I don't know. Let me hear your answer first.
John Travolta.
That's on my list.
That was
you mean Gonga Zingo?
That was awesome.
Gonga Zingo was awesome. But it was awesome in the, it was awesome that they had the wherewithal to, you know, to kind of make fun of the thing that happened last year. But then it was awesome all over again because of how Uncle Creepy he is.
The touching.
What happened with him?
I mean, he is a close talker who would not get his hands off that poor woman's face.
And if you watch the pre-show, he did the same thing on the carpet with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, really?
Went up behind her, hugged her on the hip, and had his face right next to hers. And her face, if you can pull that picture, her face says it all.
Yeah.
She speaks for America.
So what's going on with a guy like John Travolta? Is he just super handsy, touchy-feely, or is he just, I want to appear to be so friendly, or is he just genuinely that happy to be with people? What's your read on him?
He's, wow, I love women.
I am overcompensating
women are
in a
huge
ass.
Look how beautiful you are. Oh, I love women.
That's what it is, huh?
That's just my guess.
That's hilarious.
I mean, yeah. What else would explain how crazy touchy-feely he was? That was
ecstasy.
That was weird. Ecstasy,
I mean, that would,
is another one. Yeah.
That would be an inappropriate way to touch a close friend if you saw them. Right?
He said she was a close friend.
Okay.
Whose name he doesn't know.
Right.
Whose name he doesn't know. All right. Besides Glom Gazingo, I think my favorite moment was the Common and John Legend speech.
Yes.
I think that was my favorite moment.
Agreed.
Of the
Their
of
acceptance
the show.
Speech, yeah.
Their acceptance speech. Yeah. The performance was phenomenal. And the acceptance speech when they won moments later was just, I mean, it sounded like it had been written, you know, somebody, Aaron Sorkin had crafted that over a weekend. It was so beautiful and so
Common,
eloquent.
Oh, good Lord.
Common's amazing.
Those two, both of them. I mean, I was sitting there when Common was doing his bit, I was thinking, oh, poor John Legend now has to go up and thank his mom or something like that. But he was equally beautiful.
Yes.
So that was a great, great moment. So, well, there's lots to talk about. Obviously, it was a 27-hour show, so there's plenty of things we can break
down
throughout
the day.
You
know what the weird thing about the Oscars is? I feel like they genuinely don't care that it's a... It's not good TV.
Right.
Because they don't ever really make changes to it to, I think they just say, hey, you get to watch this.
Right.
And good luck with that.
And we get to sell over 4 hours of advertising time.
Yeah.
So who cares how long it is? We're making so much money.
It doesn't seem like they're making any concession to, hey, people are watching this TV show. Maybe we should make it interesting for them.
Well, they wouldn't give Neil Patrick Harris a briefcase if they cared about the show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody would step in and go, okay, let's not do that.
And wow, but not least, much of a payoff.
Not much of a payoff at all.
Good Lord.
But at least they only did that bit 20 times.
Exactly.
During the show.
And you knew.
I like Neil Patrick Harris, too. I mean, I thought the opening number was great.
It was
Jack
great.
Jack Black was wonderful.
Jack Black is always great.
Yeah.
But man, did things go south.
But you, as we discussed on Friday, Kevin, you hate puns.
I do.
So he must have driven you crazy throughout the day.
You know what's a little bit weird about him is that I genuinely like him. Mm-hmm. I don't know him as a person, but I like him. And you could, the way he delivers those puns and the wordplay and stuff, I sort of felt like, all right, you know, okay.
You give him a pass because he's Doogie?
Because he's Doogie, because he seems to understand that he's making that kind of joke. I don't know. I didn't hate it just because I like him.
If somebody else had introduced Reese Witherspoon as being out here with her spoon, I mean, come on. You.
Yeah, no, that was...
You'd never stop F-U-ing that person.
That was even bad for him. Yeah. It's hard to remember all the good and the bad parts. I'm sorry.
I know.
It's hard to remember all the bad parts.
Yeah,
it's easy to remember the good ones.
It's like remembering an individual day of a prison sentence.
Yeah.
It was sometime in February. I just don't remember. All right. Well, we got that. What else is on today's All New Kevin and Bean Show, do you think?
We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Okay.
We are going to talk about GoFundMe. A friend of ours sent us a link saying, hey, I need a little bit of help. If anybody would mind, could they donate to this particular cause? And basically, it was this person was trying to finish school and ran a little short. So I had one reaction, and then Bean had the exact opposite reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to use that as a call-in. Have your friends done that to you? Is it cool, or does it bug you like crazy?
I think this may be our latest installment of Who's the Dick? Because it's possible that I'm the dick. It's possible that my reaction is wrong on this. But it's also possible that she really is taking advantage of her friends by sending out mass emails looking for money to pay her rent.
Right. But if there's ever a coin flip, 50-50, we're not sure who's the dick, pretty much you.
How dare you?
I think that's a good rule of thumb. We're going to talk to the LA Times' Mary McNamara about the Oscars. We've got beer mug interviews on the Hot Tub Time Machine 2 red carpet.
Can't wait.
We're going to talk to the creator of The Cool Baby.
Yes.
Come on. There's nothing better than that. The Cool Baby. Oh, my God.
Allie, did you just snort?
He did.
I thought so. Okay.
I don't know if you've seen this, but if you haven't, you're going to need to today because it's the greatest thing that's ever happened. And it's so disturbing, you'll never forget it. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey, Delilah.
It's Plain White Tees, isn't it?
Yep.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
Hey, Ruff Garman.
Hey, Bean Baxter.
What's going on, dude?
Not much. What's going on with you?
How about those Oscars?
Oscars! Oscars! Fabulous! As always, make it work.
Do you watch them?
Of course I watch them.
Yeah.
You know me. I have, as Bean mentioned earlier this morning, I have a much... I give it a wider berth than you guys. I think I give it more slack than you guys because I do firmly believe it is the end of the year awards banquet for this business, this company,
mm-hmm.
and it has all the employees there, and they're getting their awards, and we are allowed in to watch.
Right.
So I don't mind when they give away sound mixing and costuming and visual effects and set design, things like that. I dig that stuff. I think it's cool to see the people who make the movies. That I have no problem with that. But then there's the
do you want
writing to- for the hosting. Wow.
Neil was a little too amped up for you?
Listen, no, I think he's great. I think he was let down by the people who were giving him his material, whatever that was. But I thought overall it was a hard, hard show to watch.
It was.
It was. It was punishing.
With brief moments of... genuine emotion and genuine entertainment.
And we're always outraged the day after the Oscars, but it's the same every year, right? I mean, that's what you get when you watch the Oscars. I guess that should be my expectations, is it's going to be a slog with some highlights.
See, but I don't think it has to be that way. Yeah. However, I would rather watch the Polish director for Best Foreign Film accept his award
that
and
guy was
get
awesome.
His speech
yeah. mm-hmm.
than I would watch some failed comedy bit. You know what I mean? Rather than watch Neil Patrick Harris in his underwear or find out what's in his plastic box, right. I would rather see someone just accept an award for something that's actually done in the movies. Sometimes they try too hard. What's that?
I didn't hate the underwear.
Yeah, part. I thought it was a little goofy.
It
no,
was.
I meant literally. I didn't hate.
Oh, you just like his underwear.
Yeah.
Look, if I had his body, I would never wear clothes either. But
I mean, I get. Yeah, it didn't work for me either. But at least it made sense because there was a clear tie-in to
the Birdman.
To Birdman, yeah.
Right.
So at least it made. At least it, I understand why they did it because they thought it would go over bigger than it did. I think.
Yeah. Look, Neil Patrick Harris is an enormously talented guy. We know that. We've seen him.
Enormously.
We've seen him crush it as a host for other award shows. Just didn't work out this time. But I thought there were some real real cool moments that I actually enjoyed. But, yeah. I was just hoping that my buddy Seth MacFarlane was watching. Because a lot would have been forgiven, I think, for his year. Because I think it was much more entertaining than what happened last night. The stuff that he was doing when he was the host. For those of you who did not watch, quick recap for the big winners. Best Picture was Birdman. Best Director, Alejandro González Iñárritu. Who gave this guy a green card, huh? You with me, huh? Anybody? Is this thing on? Boy, Sean Penn's getting beat up.
Although I understand, in Mr. Penn's defense, that's a running joke between the two of them who are very close friends, and they've worked together in 21 Grams, obviously, and this is just how they rib each other, and he was asked about it backstage, and he said, oh, I thought it was hilarious. He wasn't at all offended.
Iñárritu said that.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, Sean Penn, one of the most legendarily liberal guys on the planet Earth.
Right.
It was obviously an ironic joke. He wasn't being...
Right. If it were Clint Eastwood saying that, you might believe he meant it. But obviously, Sean Penn was making a joke.
Yes. Best Actress, Julianne Moore for Still Alice, Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything for Best Actor. Best Supporting Actress, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood. Best Supporting Actor, J.K. Simmons with Whiplash. He had a great speech. Speaking of great speeches, Best Adapted Screenplay, Graham Moore's acceptance for The Imitation Game, where he talked in a very frank way about his attempted suicide at the age of 16 years old. and encourage people to stay weird. I thought it was very cool.
Beautiful speech.
Best original screenplay went to Alejandro Iñárritu for Birdman. Best animated feature was Big Hero 6. Best song, Glory, from Selma. And best original score, Alexander Desplat for the Grand Budapest Hotel.
They get a lot more awards than I thought they would.
Yeah, good night for the best.
I think they won four.
Yeah.
Considering it came out, you know, like 5 years ago.
It was a much-loved film. Got a lot of attention. And unlike a lot of films that seem to peak sometimes during award season mm-hmm. and then lose heat, this thing was kind of like solid. People enjoyed it and talked about it all the way through.
How old is Wes Anderson? Because he looks like he's 28.
He's in his 40s.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was going to say early 40s, maybe.
What's happening with him? What kind of deal with the devil does that guy have?
He's a talented, weird dude.
He sure claps like a porpoise.
He does.
Doesn't he? I don't understand that clap.
I have never seen a porpoise clap, but...
Sure you have.
Smash his hands together.
They can't clap. Porpoises can't clap.
They try, though.
I know a porpoise, and he can't clap. Like
guys,
a monkey.
He was born May 1st, 1969. That's got to make him... That's mid-40s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 46, maybe, I guess. He looks great.
Math is not a strong suit of this crowd.
No, mine doesn't
either. Right now. Speaking of movies, over the weekend, let's see what succeeded at the box office. No surprise, 50 Shades of Grey, once again, was number one, $23.2 million. Then The Kingsman came in at number two with $17.5 million. SpongeBob still in the top five. Sponge Out of Water made $15.5 million, good enough to make it number three. McFarlane USA was fourth. The Duff, in its debut with $11 million, was number five. American Sniper, pretty much ignored last night at the Oscars.
Except for the mention where it made more money than all the other
seven. Than all the other movies combined.
Combined.
Yes. You'd be Oprah because you're fat. I mean, because you're rich.
Yeah, rich.
That's what he meant to say.
Yeah, we all gasped at that, didn't we?
He had to clarify why she was a giant portion of the audience.
That was an ill-conceived joke.
Yeah, it was, I think. Someone should have nudged him and said, she's really big. Maybe we should pick someone else. American Sniper was sixth. The Hot Tub Time Machine, its debut. Underperformed, $5.8 million, made it number seven. Jupiter Ascending was eighth. The Imitation Game was ninth. And then Paddington, my movie. I love my Paddington. You know, I love Paddington.
Yeah,
you do.
10th at the box office.
Kevin, did you see Hot Tub?
I did not. Okay. My mom was in town. I could not interest her
did you see your
into
mom?
Going to see Hot Tub
Weird.
Time Machine.
Really?
Yeah.
Seems like it'd be perfect
for
her.
She loves hot tubs and time machines. I'm so surprised.
I was like, Mom, this is right up your alley.
You can't get her out of the hot tub. I know it's your house. And she loves time travel movies.
That's right.
And I think the language and the nudity in that is perfect to see with your mom.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Couldn't interest her.
Let's take a look. I would really enjoy that right now.
That's Kat's mom.
That's Kat's mom. I would have taken her.
Oh, Kat's mom would be a party.
Had she been available.
Yeah. Speaking of the Oscars, heartbreaking moment was when Tim McGraw was singing Glenn Campbell's song, I'm Not Gonna Miss You. Mm-hmm. It was one of the nominated songs last night. A lot of people talking about the Glenn Campbell documentary, which pretty much displays his descent with Alzheimer's and chronicles how he starts to struggle with that disease. That's going to premiere on CNN this summer. You'll be able to see it on regular television if you've missed it and you can't see it in theaters.
That movie's going to be on CNN?
That movie will be on CNN this summer, yeah. The film will begin showing in June. And then they're going to show it again in the fall in November. So if you can wait that long, you can check that out then. But a lot of people talking about that film. Apparently, it's devastating. Good times. Today's celebrity birthday is Josh Gad. I like him. He's Olaf.
Olaf.
Book of Mormon, of course. Got a new series out with Billy Crystal called The Comedians over there on FXX. I don't know how many X's.
I think it's seven.
He's 34 years old today. Actress Emily Blunt is 32. Aziz. I want to say Ansari.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it says here, Aziz Nasari.
Nope.
Is that a different guy? Is there an Aziz Nasari?
Not that I've heard of.
Or is Dave the King of Mexico just effing with me?
I think I'd go with Ansari.
Typo! He's 32 years old today. Dakota Fanning. She's 21. Wasn't she 8 years old like yesterday?
Yeah, she was. She's grown up fast.
Boy, speaking what a great growing actress. Up fast. You see Chloe Grace Moretz on the show last night on the Oscars?
I did.
It's like, what the what?
Yeah, with she was a little kid.
What? I said, what?
Like that?
I don't know who her prom date was next to her, but they sure were a cute couple of kids.
He's the kid from The Fault in Our Stars.
Ah.
Yes.
Well, they're a lovely and a charming couple. I'm glad they came to play the game. They get the home version of our game. as a parting gift. Hello, is this thing on?
It is.
Like Neil Patrick Harris out here.
It is.
And I bring out John Travolta to start touching people. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
Hey, later on this morning's program, by the way, Ralph Garman, that's you, leather jacket guy.
That's
right?
Me, yes.
Is going to be giving away a trip for two to New Orleans, including airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash,
boom,
courtesy of the movie Focus, which looks awesome, by the way. So we got that coming up for you later on today, and we'll do the grand prize drawing to send someone to Tokyo, Japan to see Fall Out Boy in the K-Rock World Tour Destination number 5.
Allie McKay is here. Hi, Allie.
Good morning.
How are you? We are going to get to the highlights of the Oscars in just a second, because we just talked about it for a little bit. We want to focus on something else just for a little bit, and that is Kat's mom. And what a hot piece of ass she must be.
Right? Somebody's mom you're talking about.
You're talking about a co-worker's mother at
right.
this point.
Let's remember that. I'm just saying, I'm not sure that these commercials are doing Kat's mom any favors.
Well, the people demand that she keeps coming back.
Do the people demand that?
Not so much, no. But Kat keeps putting her mom in her commercials.
It does seem like she can't be real. It seems like like it's a voice bit that they're doing. You know
and
what I mean?
You would go in and you would say, hey, pull it back a little bit. Nobody's going to believe that's real.
Right. Stop being so cartoony, you'd have to say, to this character.
Can we hear a little bit of the latest commercial that Kat recorded with her mother promoting Mercedes-Benz? Which, by the way, no reflection on the Mercedes-Benz. It's the best car on the road. It's awesome. But Kat's mom, curious choice for your commercial.
We are so lucky living in Southern California. While the East Coast is getting pummeled with snow, we're just hanging out in flip-flops having a good time. So, Mom, how cold is it over there in Boston? You need the seat warmers in my 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class.
I would really enjoy that right now.
That is someone's voice.
That's a person that lives.
Can you imagine growing up with that?
No.
Yes.
Allie. That's right. Allie's folks are from Boston, too.
They sure
from
are.
That part of the world.
Are they?
That's an accent that travels.
That's a pretty harsh.
It doesn't go away.
Oh, man.
No. And when you drink.
It comes out even worse?
Oh, it's stronger.
I'm
stronger.
Driving around with my sunroof open.
I got a heating pad on my feet.
It is like living with Gilbert Gottfried.
She's at a volume of 10 at all times.
So strident. What is she yelling about all the time?
I would imagine it's pretty dangerous driving around right now. Are there a lot of cars on the road?
Then drive them, but you're going to be so careful pulling out because you don't know what's coming. The snow is so high.
It's like listening to my Nana. I would good time.
Take my life.
Dogs in the neighborhood must
That's
be
right.
constantly barking, right?
Can you imagine?
I wish I could send you all of the safety features on my 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class because there's like front alerts, side alerts, a rear view camera. It would make me feel better about your driving situation.
That sounds great.
What's happening with that lady?
Is this the second or third one?
This is her third, fourth one, I think.
Fourth one.
At least three.
At least three.
Yeah.
Well, we found...
But there's more to come,
there's
apparently.
There's more, yeah. We found some new ones that haven't aired yet, and we think that you might like those as well. This is Kat and Kat's mom.
Hi, it's Kat. I love driving my Mercedes-Benz 2015 C-Class. Because when I go to make a turn, there's a little indicator that I can throw the switch and it shows what direction I'm turning in.
What's wrong with you? Every car has that.
But does every car have a cap on the gas tank to keep air from getting into the gas?
Yes, every car has that. Even my old car.
But the new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class comes with four wheels and windshield wipers.
I think it's time to tell you, you're not really my daughter. I found you on the steps of the church.
All right, so that's one.
That's a
tough way to hear that. Wow.
Not sure when that's going to air, but
I hope soon.
Hopefully very soon. Here's another one.
You know, when I was going to all the after Grammy parties, everyone was so impressed with my 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class.
What's wrong with you with all that bragging? I taught you better than that.
But even with all the high-end cars that were pulled up in front of the valet, people looked at mine and said, what's that car?
So now you're judging your self-worth by what car you drive? You're breaking my heart.
Oh, man.
There's some issues there that need to be dealt with.
Maybe they should be talking off the air, really.
I think so.
Wow. And one more.
We're so lucky to be in Southern California. It's really cold back east.
Kat, they turned my electricity off. Send me some money.
In my new Mercedes-Benz C-Class, I've got the windows rolled down and the tunes cranking.
I got newspaper shoved in my windows to keep the cold out. I can't feel my face. Help me.
There's not a more luxurious car on the road today than the Mercedes-Benz C-Class.
I have to bend my furniture for warmth. What are they paying you for these commercials? Please send me some money.
Shut up, Mom. I'm doing a commercial.
Oh, it's just sad now. Cat's driving around in her Mercedes with all this, just throwing $100 bills out the window. Her poor mom.
She's burning her furniture.
Yeah.
Fair.
On with that. It is Monday morning. That means it's time for us to go to the TMZ newsroom and catch up with our friend Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey. How's it going, man?
Good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I know we're not going to talk about this, but I just because you're a show business professional, I just want your quick recap on how you thought the Oscars went last night. Say no more.
Can I do the positive side?
Sure, of course. Yeah,
I thought the screenwriter from the Inspiration Game was great.
Yes,
and
the Imitation Game.
The Imitation Game. Yeah. I watched it this weekend. Oh my God, have you seen it?
Yeah, it's genius.
It's a good movie. Good movie. Yeah,
it is. It's amazing. And he was great.
That was a beautiful speech.
It was a beautiful speech in common. And John Legend were great.
Yeah, they sure were.
Although, why do they have to use their real names when they win?
I don't know. That's funny.
Which
one of them is Lynn?
That's Common.
Common. That's Common. No wonder he changed his name.
It was ridiculous.
It is weird because for folks who were confused by that, the award went to, the songwriters of the Glory song, which is them, but it's by their real name. So it seemed like it was different people, and they were accepting on behalf of the writers. It was very strange.
It was funny. That aside,
I agree. All right. Well, let's talk about some other stuff. You had some interesting things over the weekend on the site, including the most shocking thing of 2015 for me, is that the Kardashians were in Montana. Like, in what universe are they ever going to be in Montana?
Yeah.
Why were they there?
You know, I don't know why they were there. I'm guessing it was for the show. But they and by the way, we should talk about Khloé in a minute on red carpet thing. But what happened was Khloé was driving in Montana. I know, it sounds so weird.
Yeah.
And she apparently hit some black ice and careened across traffic into a ditch. And Kim was in the car. And Northwest was in the car. Kylie was in the car. Everybody's okay.
Jeez.
The weird thing is it came exactly 2 weeks. Exactly after Bruce got in his car accident with more dire results.
I guess I was so confused by that because they just seemed like little pampered princesses. Like Montana would have none of the nail salons that they would that would be appropriate for them. You know what I mean? They wouldn't be able to order a decent meal. I mean, everything about a state like Montana, it seems like the Kardashians would hate.
I don't know. I mean, I have never been to Montana, but I've heard there are some areas there that are, like, ridiculously wealthy and I mean, crazy wealthy.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I'm guessing they were in an enclave.
All right. Tell me about Khloé last night. What happened?
I don't know if you saw it. I mean, she was doing the E-red carpet or the E-fashion thing, and I watched it because it was unbelievable.
Wait, she was commenting on?
No, guys, you should have seen this. She is talking about...
hey, guys, who was Khloé talking about?
Anna Kendrick.
Okay.
And so she's looking at Anna Kendrick and saying, you know what? She said, that color that she's wearing is completely wrong for the Oscars. That's more of a pool party. But for the Oscars, she's just got it all wrong. And it's like, wait a minute. Anna Kendrick is on the red carpet, and you're saying she doesn't know about the Oscars, but you know about the Oscars?
Yeah, that's bizarre.
And then she starts saying, well, of course, so-and-so is going to win. It's a shoo-in. And when did those credentials happen?
No kidding. And by the way, Anna Kendrick always looks beautiful at all of these events. She always
crazy.
That is crazy. Look, you've covered this family. You spent more hours thinking about the Kardashians than anyone in America over the past 10 years.
Where did I go wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, seriously.
Aren't you a member of the family?
They really do believe that they are the be-all and end-all of all things. I mean, I guess we shouldn't be surprised by this, right?
Well, on a level, you know, they are really popular. I mean, they are really, really popular, and it's an empire. I mean, like it or not, it is an empire. And, yeah, they do believe it.
Unbelievable.
But here's the weird thing is that, I have a problem spelling, so I try not to correct other people's spelling. Khloé... is a unique dresser. She looks okay. I'm not sure she needs to tell Anna Kendrick what to wear.
Yeah, you really need to find this clip, and it's just unbelievable.
I couldn't take the red carpet because it was like 12 hours long. It started like 7 in the morning.
We're going to talk about this later, but real quick, Harvey, before we let you go, did you see the clip of Dakota Johnson and Melanie Griffith on the red carpet almost getting into a mom-daughter fight?
You know what? I watched, I forget which one I watched. I didn't see a fight at all. It looked like Melanie Griffith was just quiet, and it was weird. But no, I didn't. What station had the fight?
Allie, where was it? You
that
saw
was
it.
The ABC pre-show leading right into
I didn't see it. I saw another one. What happened?
Oof.
They got in a fight, really?
Well, Laura Spencer was trying to ask Melanie what she thought of 50 Shades of Grey. She mentioned she didn't see it. She's like, oh, you should definitely see it. She's like, I don't want to see it. And then kept kind of harping on it and then finally said something to the effect of, well, your daughter was amazing in it. Melanie said, I don't need to see the movie to know she's amazing. And then Dakota said, I believe something to the effect of, we get it, Mom. Jesus, you're not going to see the movie. Jesus Christ. And they actually bleeped her saying, Jesus Christ. It was so awkward.
Wait, they bleeped Jesus Christ?
Yeah. It was amazing.
Well, that's a party gift for you, Harvey. You got to get your team on that. That sounds like a fun clip.
Yeah, we missed it. That's great.
All right. TMZ airs on Fox Monday through Friday many times throughout the day. That's the OG show. TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4, also on Channel 11. And don't forget Real Sports at 3 on the Real Channel. I messed that up, but you guys know what I'm talking about.
Well done. You got the idea. Mm-hmm.
Harvey, have a great week, man. Thanks for the time.
You too, guys.
Got a new round of Beer Mug Red Carpet interviews from the Hot Tub Time Machine 2 for you later on today. We'll also play a new version of Who's the Dick. Why am I always the dick in that, by the way?
You tell us.
We haven't even decided yet. Why are you jumping to conclusions?
Because he knows he's the dick.
The question is, who's the dick? It's in the bit itself. There's a question. Who's the dick? Why are you assuming you're going to be the dick?
Because I've won every competition of this kind.
Well,
in the history of doing
Who's
the Dick.
You know yourself better than we do. So if you say you're the dick, then you're the dick.
Why don't you tell us why you're
We'll
the
find
dick.
Out in about 20 minutes. First, though, some more.
We should change the name of the bit to Why is Being a Dick?
And is it really winning the competition?
I don't think it is winning, no.
First, though, we do have some highlights. We've been talking a little bit about the Oscars that may still be on for all I know. I dozed off around midnight, but Kevin, you brought in some tape. What do you want to talk about here?
I thought Neil Patrick Harris, his opening number was really good.
Very promising. I thought, all right,
check
here we go.
Check out this place. Check out everything. Check out the glamour, the glitter, people tweeting on the Twitter. And no one's drunk and bitter yet because no one has lost. Look at the diamonds, the dresses, people going to excesses. The stress is on and everybody's fingers are crossed. I know the camera's on and we're behaving our best. Yet I secretly hope someone pulls a Kanye West.
Yeah, I wanted that so bad. Many, many times during
that
the thing.
That crowd doesn't do that.
They don't. I know, but it would have spiced things up just a bit.
What did they do, Ralph? Refresh my memory that impressed me so much at the time from a production standpoint. Was he interacting with film? Is that what was going on?
They did several bits. He started first with his shadow behind him matching his moves, and then the shadow started to add props and things like that. It grew and bigger, and then they inserted him into famous scenes from famous movies. Yeah,
that was very cool. Yeah. That was very cool. And even while he was singing and dancing on stage, though, they just had a bunch of stuff swirling around. And I thought that set, I mean, it sounds dumb to say this, but I thought that set was spectacular, too.
Okay.
No, the way they integrated the elements, I agree with Bean. It was insane.
Anna Kendrick came out and sang with him.
Hologram Tupac, when he came on, I was like, that's...
I don't think that was a different show. I think you may be mistaken.
I'm not sure that happened. So then, Jack Black.
Yes.
Interrupted.
Moving picture! This is what you sound like. Movies, wow, they rock. This industry's in flux. It's run by mucky mucks, pitching tents for tent poles and chasing Chinese bucks. Opening with lots of zeros, all we get are superheroes, Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, Jedi Man, Sequel Man, Prequel Man, formulaic scripts. And after 50 Shades of Grey, they'll all have leather whips. In a world where our brains are becoming machines, the only screens we're watching are the screens in our jeans.
Yeah.
Screens in our jeans. Screens in our jeans. Yeah.
That was a little surprising.
That was awesome.
It was a great number.
I liked that. And then, you know, everything went down from there. But, I mean, that was a good start to the Academy
Awards.
You
can sing and dance, that Neil Patrick Harris.
He sure can. And he's also, even when his jokes failed, he's got a confidence about him, a charisma that just seems to sort of work, I think.
Yes.
Not everything worked, but he was fine with it not. My favorite accepted speech of the night was the best foreign film for a movie I've never heard of. Ida,
that's right.
Ida.
Yes.
So this guy's from Poland, and he gave his however long they have, 22 seconds, 30 seconds, however long it is. And then the orchestra tried to play him off, but they left his microphone, and he wouldn't leave. I thought he was just going to stay out there all night and keep talking.
A U.S. distributor who did a great job for very little money. Oh, wrap up. Good. Okay, so quickly to the point. And to my Polish friends who are in front of the TV, the crew, who are in the trenches with us and who are totally drunk now. And you were fantastic. You were brilliant. You carried me through this film. And you are what I love about Poland. You are resilient, courageous, brave and funny. And you can take a drink. And I would like to dedicate it to my late wife and my parents, who are not among the living, but...
Okay, so now the orchestra has given up.
Yes.
It's like, he's still talking.
He beat the orchestra.
I didn't think that was possible. He kept talking until the orchestra gave up.
Yes. Why didn't they fade his mic down like they have always done in years past?
I don't know, but they
didn't.
Because
it would cause an international incident. We'd be at war with Poland right now.
Yeah, no one wants that.
Who wants that?
Who are totally inside this film, and they have a lot to do with the film, and my children, who are hopefully watching, who are still alive... Thank you. Victor and Maria.
All right, now they said, look, play them off again.
Take two.
Let's try it again.
I love you. You are the main prize. Thank you.
I love that guy. I don't know him.
So good. That's why you want...
I love that guy.
...people who make small films and short animated films and foreign films. You want to give them this moment because it is literally the highlight of their lives. They're not making the big salaries. They're not walking the red carpets. They're not getting the interviews. And they work for the love of making movies, and then they get this. Awesome.
I understand. I'm not arguing with your point. I mean, the guy won an Academy Award. He deserves his moment in the sun. I'm with you. I just think there are too many of those kinds of categories. That's all.
The problem for me is that none of the other people that accept those awards are like that. Like, no. That guy was awesome.
No,
because that guy's awesome.
He was entertaining for you, but I think for the people who are getting the awards, in order to keep the medium vital and to keep people working in it and to encourage that, you have to give those things to those people.
Yeah. Yeah. What about John Travolta's face? Let's talk about that before we talk about the bit.
Well, how do you get past his hair to get to his face?
Yeah, his hair is the thing. I mean, it's jet black now.
Why is he wearing a wombat on his face? I mean, he's not fooling anybody. We've seen him without it. We've seen him at 3 o'clock in the morning at the gym talking to guys, chatting guys up. We know he's got no hair.
It did look like somebody else was wearing a John Travolta mask and hairpiece.
And choker. What's with his necklace? What's the choker of the tie, the sparkly bedazzled tie choker bolo he wears? What's going on?
I don't know. I don't know.
All bad things. I mean, I think you look at that guy and you go, I don't want Botox. I think that's probably like, that's a poster boy for how it can go wrong.
Ralph, before we talk about the embarrassing incident on stage last night, John Travolta at one time was a great actor, correct? Nominated for an Academy Award at one point in his career.
Again, one of those guys, when cast well, is very effective. Doesn't have a lot of range, but can be great, yes.
Probably peaked with Pulp Fiction, I would imagine, right? That was probably his greatest role, I would think.
I don't know, Saturday Night Fever. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
It's a better performance.
But hasn't he become one of those guys who now you can't even think of as an actor anymore just because he's become such a freak show?
Yeah, he is sort of a joke now.
Well, he sure mispronounced Idina Menzel's name. And that was sure funny. And then she
came out last year, famously, yes.
And then she came out.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my very dear friend, Glom Gazingo.
Very funny.
Travolta walks out.
I deserve that. But you, my darling, my beautiful, my...
All right, now this is where it gets weird, because he's talking to her, and for those of you that didn't see, he's now reaching out with his hands.
So weird, yes. When I touch your face.
And he's like...
He's like molding it, almost.
Sweet with the chin. It's what, who, where.
He's trying to change the shape of her head. You're right, Ellie. He's molding it and just rubbing all over. I was like, what the hell is going on right now?
Wicked and talented Idina Menzel.
You got it!
Is that right?
You did it. That was
It's so good. It's not like it's going to follow me around for the rest of my life or anything.
Yeah, tell me about it. Okay, so the nominees for Best Original Song are...
You want me to do it?
And then she did it.
That was funny.
If you have that moment going to happen on stage, though, why do you have Neil Patrick Harris do the Benedict Cumberbatch joke seconds before that, where he says that's what happens when you get John Travolta to try to announce Ben Affleck? Mm-hmm. You get Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
Why do you do that joke if you're going to get the payoff of Travolta stepping out with her afterwards? Why do you go get two bites from that apple? It just weakened the second joke,
yeah,
I think.
I agree.
That's like a major comedy mistake there. Someone involved in that show should have seen that.
Yeah, one or the
known
other.
Better.
You can't do both.
Right. You set up her straight, and then you have him come out, and it's such a big moment. But they took the air out of it with
that first joke. They also told the joke three times in a row in different ways. Like, I was like, okay, the first one was funny. The second one was a little less funny.
Yeah.
And you want me to do it? All
the
right.
More touching we of her face
it.
Is what we wanted.
Oh, he was just caressing her face.
He should have grabbed her boobs and her butt. There should have been all kinds of molding.
He's all hands, that guy.
Yeah. So weird. I love women so much. I just have to touch the faces and the things with the chins.
The winner of writing the best adapted screenplay, which was for Imitation Game, this guy, first of all, is 14.
Graham Moore.
33.
Or 14.
First screenplay.
He looked very
first
young.
Screenplay.
This is his first screenplay.
That's unbelievable.
He got it produced, and then he won an Oscar.
So I'm watching that, and he comes out and he says,
"When I was 16 years old, I tried to kill myself."
And I was like, wow, this went south fast. And then
or north fast.
And right. And then I was very surprised because I was like, how does somebody work that into an acceptance speech? But he turned it around and I thought this was one of the highlights of the night.
Because I felt weird and I felt different and I felt like I did not belong. And now I'm standing here. And so I would like for this moment to be for that kid out there who feels like she's weird or she's different or she doesn't fit in anywhere. Yes, you do. I promise you do. You do. Stay weird. Stay different. And then when it's your turn and you are standing on the stage, please pass the same message to the next person who comes along.
Stay weird.
Awesome. No, stay weird is awesome. But also, I think we need to point out that it's no coincidence that he's the guy who wrote this script and identified so closely with the character that Benedict Cumberbatch plays in the movie, because they're both talking about, you know, feeling left out because you're gay. He didn't say those words, but that's what's happening.
If you're not familiar with the film, Benedict Cumberbatch's character basically wins the war for Britain and then gets incarcerated for being homosexual.
Yeah,
which is seems unfair.
Insanity, but that was
once you beat the Nazis, I think you should get a pass. You should be able to sleep with whoever you want to.
Exactly. All right, we have a bunch more highlights, but we're out of time for this, so we're going to take a break.
So weird. We're going to come back. Your face. Come here, you beautiful girl with the loveliness.
We're going to come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Yes, what a night it's been for the Oscars. I'd like to congratulate
someone, anyone?
Joanna Moore for
Joanna
Best
Moore.
Actress.
Oh, Joanna Moore.
Still Alice. Joanna Moore.
Yeah,
Joanna Moore does good work.
Joanna's the best.
She is good. Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
Hey, Ralph Garman. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You know, always, when Allie McKay has been here on the show, she's been filling in for me.
Yeah, you're not here.
I've not been here.
That's true.
Yeah. So this is the first time I've ever had the chance to work alongside the
That's
lovely and talented
so
Allie McKay.
It is weird.
And this is awesome. I'm enjoying the hell out of this morning.
That's what you look like.
Yeah, that's what you look like.
All right, get a room, you two.
Just saying. Look at her being all blonde over there. That's the blondest hair I've ever seen.
It's fluorescent.
We were talking about the Oscars, as was Rodney, with that Joanna Moore. She does great work. But one of my favorite moments on the Oscar telecast, which started, I'm not kidding, I think at like 2 in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Is that when they started showing the red carpet arrivals? Does that sound reasonable?
It was at least 3 hours before the show, which is insane.
Yeah.
And then ABC has, I guess, an exclusive deal with Oscars is that the hour leading up to the actual show itself, they're the only ones who get to do the live red carpet coverage. And Lara was there. My old co-worker, Lara Spencer.
Hi, Pat O'Brien.
Ask Harmon, he'll tell you. I used to work with Lara Spencer back in the day on Access Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Back in my Access Hollywood days.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Hartman. He'll tell you.
You ever try to fight Laura Spencer?
I'd fight Laura Spencer. I'd kick her ass.
Okay.
She was there with Dakota Johnson.
Yes.
And her mom, Melanie Griffith. Apparently, they attended together. And it was a weird moment where she was talking to Melanie Griffith, who you know, of course, from Working Girl, big star, and Don Johnson is the father of Dakota Johnson. And they're there talking on the red carpet, and Laura Spencer asks her mom if she's seen her movie, 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
And it's as if they've never had this conversation before this moment. Would you think that would have come up at some point in their relationship where she would have said, hey, Mom, are you going to go see my movie? Or Mom would have said, you know, honey, I'm not comfortable.
Really for me.
No, they've never had this conversation until they got in front of a live television camera. This is the most uncomfortable moment of the entire evening. Here's mother and daughter hashing it out on the red carpet.
Feels like everybody has seen it. Have you?
No. No.
Maybe.
Do you have
maybe
a say?
One day.
You don't want to see it?
Maybe one day. I don't think I can. Yeah. I think it would be strange.
No, I don't think so. I think it's fine. I think that one day you can see it.
Yeah.
I think so.
And I'll just tell you until you see it, she's really good. And yeah, there are those scenes, but she's also just a really good
actress. Well, she's a really good actress. I don't need to see that to know how good she is. Yeah.
You
know?
All right.
You don't have to see it. I'm like, you can see it, and you're just like, no.
Because she doesn't want, you know, I mean, there is that red room.
Yeah, but I think it's okay. It's a movie. She knows that.
And there's two more.
If she tells me to see it, I'll see it.
No, I don't want you to see it now.
No, I don't want you to go.
God. Yeah, they had to bleep out and say, Jesus Christ. It was like watching a mother with her daughter at the mall trying to buy something at Forever 21.
That's so
I don't
bizarre.
Like those jeans, but they're flattering for your figure. Jesus Christ, Mom, I told you, I don't want those jeans. It was so uncomfortable.
All right, you don't have to see
hilarious.
It.
It's like, well, if she says I'll see it, I'll go see it. No, I don't want you to see it now.
It's not for you. By the way, I know it's her kid and everything, and that would, for regular people, be awkward. But as an actress who's done lots of love scenes and lots of movie work and everything like that, you'd think like it would be no big deal for her to see that.
It's not with you, but it's your kid, Bean. It's a very different thing. You can know intellectually all of that, but it's still your kid getting whipped and reamed.
Yeah. No, I got you. I got you.
Lawyers, by the way, whipped and reamed. They're the law firm that handles me. So if you ever get a letter from Whipped and Ream, you know they're... You're in trouble.
I totally expect her father to not want to see the movie. I'm just surprised that the mom is so
But women love seeing their daughters get it from another guy. What's wrong with you?
I withdraw the question.
Thank you. Defense rests. Scarlett Johansson got molested by John Travolta on the red carpet while we're talking about the red carpet. Have you seen the photo?
She's not
molested. For pictures, and he comes behind like, his face is so, what, so beautiful. And he starts like nuzzling her face and touching her, and she just has this look of panic on her face.
What was up with him?
I don't know. He was out of control.
This is weird.
But
Cosby-esque at this point.
ScarJo has another project in the works. She's got an all-girl band that she's put together. And she is releasing music with a band called The Singles.
The Singles?
The Singles. Scarlett Johansson sings lead. The rest of the band is made up of all girls, including Esti Haim from the band Haim on drums. Scarlett told RollingStone.com she wants to do super pop dance music written and performed by girls. And she has done that. Here is the first single. It's called Candy, produced by David Siddeck from TV on the Radio. Here's the song. Body, you got me in the mood for love. Cause boy, you my chocolate from above.
I like it.
It's pop dance music for sure.
Girl groups anyway, but I like that. I think
I
that sounds
too.
Good.
I'm curious about the lyric though. You'll feel my chocolate from above.
Yeah, I was wondering.
I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know. You totally know.
And I know Melanie Griffith certainly doesn't want to know. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Josh Gad is 34 years old. Actress Emily Blunt turns 32. Aziz Ansari, funny man, talented actor, 32 years old. And another Dakota Fanning, celebrates her birthday today. She's 21. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It is Monday morning. I don't remember the last time I saw Kevin so excited about a Kickstarter as he is about Cool Baby.
Cool Baby. is her whole world, right?
Cool Baby is awesome.
Well,
it's
we'll tell
a
you
fake
about...
baby that you can, it has a straw out the back of its head, and you can
the baby you drink out of.
It's a baby you drink out of.
That's right.
It's you're the
never,
best.
You would never use something.
No,
like that.
No, I wouldn't.
You're not going to walk around with a baby strapped to your chest.
And I don't know that there's a creepier video that goes with it, but I love it.
Yeah, that's true.
Love
but,
it.
Well, we'll talk to the creator of Cool Baby as he struggles to meet the financial needs he has to get that thing into production. Coming up next hour, that's the kind of Kickstarter that I can get behind.
That's what I'm talking about.
There's something in it for you if you donate to that. Okay, I like that. Now I want to talk about a Kickstarter that I don't care for so much, which is actually a GoFundMe, and it's time to play our latest edition of a game that we like to call Who's the Dick? All right. Am I the dick because of the way I
yes.
feel, or is this person the dick for sending out this email? This is, I don't think it would be fair to identify who this
person
is.
Yeah, you don't
need
to. You guys?
Okay.
Someone that we know.
Somebody that we all know.
Yeah,
all right. Hello, dear friends. While this is a bit embarrassing to ask, as many of you know, it's hard out here for a pimp. Below is a link to a fundraising page. I am getting ready to... Can I say what she's studying? He or she is studying for?
Yeah.
All
right,
doesn't matter. In a difficult time in her life, I have fallen on a bit of financial difficulties. If any of you can reach into your pockets and spare a quarter or two, it will be greatly appreciated. I will be eternally grateful.
I would appreciate it.
Thank you. Nope. Thank you in advance. I've been overwhelmed by the amount of love and support I've reached from my family and friends. All right. So then you click on the GoFundMe page, and it basically
that sounds like a bitch, that person, whoever that is.
You click on the GoFundMe page, and it basically says, my loans and savings are spent. I've overextended my family. I've got a part-time job, but it's not paying very much. I'm normally not one to ask for help. I'm out of options, so I turn to you, my loyal friends. All right. Now, your reaction, Kevin, when you got this GoFundMe request was what?
I donated.
I'll reach in pocket and fan big ball of ones and cut off someone give person go nice school hat.
We know her. I like her.
I like her too.
So I donated. I didn't give it another thought.
But she's trying to go to school, Kevin, to learn things and be better. How can you stand for that?
Look, I like her too, but we are in no way close enough friends that she should be coming to me for money.
So
don't give her any.
Move on.
Let's, I feel like there's a generation of entitlement going on here, which
is. You kids get off my lawn.
I know that's what it sounds like.
When
but
we took the covered wagon, we had to make it on our own. No one but the Pony Express driver would give you the time of day.
Look, I told you that it's possible that I'm the dick, but I am curious to hear what our listeners have to say.
Beans the dick!
At 1-800-520-1067. Does anybody but me get a little bit of a queasy feeling about this? Does it look a little bit like, hey, I'm 25 and I can't pay my rent because I'm bad at things, so I'm going to ask all the other people in my life to support me? Like, I would in a million years have never done something like that when I was her age and trying to make it. You figure out a way to make it.
First of all, you dropped out of school. So that helped. That helped that problem right there.
No one else feels bad about this?
I don't love it.
Thank you, Ali. No, tell me what's going on. Tell me what's going on. Because I'm not articulating very well why it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Maybe to me it's a pride thing. For me, I could never do it.
Right.
Therefore, I'd never ask somebody to do it.
Right.
Should I then put that on someone to never do it just to be like me? Obviously not. But there is an entitlement factor. Go get two more jobs. It's
hard to go to full-time school and work
sure
two
is.
More jobs.
It is. Do it all the time.
Well, you
People
sold your ass to go through college.
So exactly. That,
so you were able to
and
make a lot of money that way. I know.
For
absolutely.
A couple years.
For a couple years.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not on us to support her.
Look, if you don't want to, don't. I don't understand the negativity.
Let me ask you this question.
Just delete it and move on.
Do you feel this way across the board with all crowdsourcing?
No, I don't at all. In fact, thank you for bringing that up. Like, we had a Kevin and Bean listener a few weeks ago who's a teacher who's in one of those horrible situations where they can't even get supplies for their classroom. I was happy to donate for something like that. That, to me, is a good cause. Miss Double December, Ashley is walking for breast cancer in Santa Barbara in a couple of weeks. I was happy to donate a couple of $100 on her, you know, in her name.
You gave money to a guy who is a corn photographer.
That's
who
true.
Takes pictures of corn.
I did. Yes,
that's
I did.
True. Different, interesting pictures of corn. You subsidized his corn photography business.
I have donated lots of Kickstarter pages for artistic projects. I gave money to Adam Carolla to make the Road Hard movie. I mean, I don't mind supporting
the
arts.
Sell, I don't don't know, 40 or 50 of his high-end Lamborghini cars and pay for his own damn movie. I'd be less inclined to give Adam Carolla or Zach Braff or one of these other rich, entitled showbiz types money to make their vanity project than I would to give a couple bucks to a girl who's trying to make her way through school. I mean, if you're going to start saying no to crowdsourcing, I think there's a lot of places you can start saying no before there's a person who is in dire financial need because they're trying to make their lives better.
Dean, why can't you just delete it and move on? Why does it... Do you feel guilty for doing that?
No, I don't. I am embarrassed for her. I really am. I think the sense of entitlement, I think that it's on her to support herself and with her family of people that are friends and family that are close to her to help her is fine. Look, if she had gone, when she goes to these people that she's close to and asks for money, I think that's appropriate because they have that relationship with her. When she just blast emails everybody in her address book, hey, I don't know what your situation is, but I could sure use an extra $5 more than you could, that just bugs.
So
that's
it's
all.
More the relationship than the actual crowdfunding that she's asking for. If you were closer, you wouldn't think this was weird.
I have lent lots of money to people who I'm friends with.
So it's a relationship.
It's partly a relationship, and it's partly just that it's an email blast to everybody. Hey, support me. You know what I mean?
But she didn't say support me. She just said, hey,
basically what she's saying is I need to pay my rent basically because I'm in a tight spot right now.
Here's the way I look at it. Either I donate or I delete it and move on and wish that person the best. Those are the only two options.
Yeah. What do you think perhaps, though, the situation is on the other end that drove her to this step? Do you think this was an easy thing for her to do? You think she had no problem sending out this email? Do you think this is something she's done before? To the best of my knowledge, this is the first time she's done this.
Correct.
And I'm guessing she's probably in pretty dire straits if she is reduced to this.
She's in dire straits? She should be making tons of money. Let's take a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1060. Am I a dick, or is it possible that this friend of ours is a dick? Let's take Carrie to get us started here. She's in Diamond Bar. She's on line three, please. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, I think she's the dick.
Now, tell me why, because the room seems to disagree with us, Carrie.
Which I think is crazy that you guys are all disagreeing with that. I feel like everybody has to, you know, I went to school. I had to pay for it. I put it on a credit card or whatever, and I drove for that.
Well, that was a finishing school you went to?
How did you know?
Well, you're a very polished young lady. You're a delicate young flower. We can all tell that.
All right, so let me play devil's advocate, because we know this person, and she's a very nice person, a very smart person. She works really hard. What should she do instead of crowdsourcing her education?
She should just, I don't know, get another job. You know, there's lots of ways that you can cut back, and there's lots of student loans out there or anything that you can do where you pay, not like, oh, hey, I know you know my name, blah, 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 can you pay for me? Like, that's just ballsy. I don't get people like that. I'm a teacher, and I'm totally agreeing with the sense of entitlement, where these kids think that everybody should be paying for them, and it's like, it's their problem or someone else's problem, not theirs. It's just very frustrating now.
All right, let me ask this, because it seemed to me like she was just saying, hey, I could use some help. If that doesn't work, I'm sure she has tried other things before. I'm sure she'll try other things after. It's not like she's – I feel like Bean and you a little better putting the you have to help me because I'm not going to help myself on her. And I don't feel like –
you're assuming a situation that may not be the case.
Yeah, and I don't feel like it came from her.
I feel that you shouldn't just put it on someone, because now you're making Bean feel bad for not giving her money, where it shouldn't be like that. He shouldn't have to feel bad for not giving her money.
Trust me, he doesn't. He has no feelings. Don't worry about it, Carrie. It's not an issue.
Carrie, we got to go. We're going to leave it there, but thank you very much for the call. And
it takes a village, people. It takes a village.
All right, you've heard what Carrie has to say. You've heard how I feel kind of weird about it. The question on the table is, who's the dick? 1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming up next on K-Rock. Taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. All the lines are packed with a feature that we like to call, who's the dick? Ralph, why don't you lay out for people who are just tuning in what the sides are in this discussion this morning.
A friend of ours has sent out an email blast through GoFundMe. a crowdsourcing site, asking for a little financial assistance so that she can complete her education. She's struggling. She's overextended. She has tapped out her family. And now she is going to a larger group of friends to ask if they can contribute just a little bit that might add up to help her get through her education a little bit more. And Bean is furious.
I'm not furious.
That she would dare
I'm not
to
furious.
Ask for a dime. Scrooge McDuck is in front of his vault and will not open the door. Do you think this has anything to do at all with the fact that you're cheap, Bean?
I'm not cheap.
I would rather give someone an organ than a $5 bill.
That's absolutely not true. I just gave you in the last break, I gave you three examples of me donating money to things just in the last couple of weeks.
Guys who take pictures of corn.
No. I told you about the school teacher.
Choices.
I told you about the breast cancer walk. I mean, I don't mind donating money. Look, I really don't mind donating money.
You just don't think she has a future, so you don't want to waste any money on an education for her?
Nicole, if he was closer to her, he would.
That's possible. If I were friends with her and she came to me and said, Bean, I hate to ask, but I really need help, I would be happy to lend this person money. I don't have that kind of relationship with her, and I don't like the fact that she email blasts everyone in her address book getting us to try to support her.
You keep saying everyone in her address book. You don't know that. You're just
I don't know that.
I didn't get it.
You're just guessing. That's Ralph
true.
Didn't get it.
I think just you and Kevin got it, Bean,
and
quite
I'm,
frankly.
I'm probably
because
much,
she knows you're the rich ones.
I'm probably much better friends with her than you are, Bean, because I was here and she was here and we talked, and so I probably knew her a lot better than you did.
She made the mistake of thinking Bean might be kind and generous enough to help her out. That was her first mistake.
I was happy to help.
Well, you're a very nice person, Kevin.
You bastard.
Nicole writes in, I work two jobs. I go to school full-time, and I raise a child on my own, and I've never asked anyone for money. Lourdes writes in, I 100% agree with Bean. It's modern-day begging. Your friend sounds like she's able-bodied. She just needs to work harder or plan harder. But let's take a couple calls who agree with you guys. Let's go to Louis or Louie in Orange on line 7, please.
All right.
Hi, Louis.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on, man. What's going on?
See, so I think you guys are baby boomers that are too old to understand how millennials work. Because, I mean, think about it. When you go to school, when the average salary is like $49,000 right now for America, why would you want to go out and incur debt and never be able to pay it back and then be struggling all your life when you can just mail blast? I mean, it's not wrong or right. It's just a generational issue that you guys can't understand right now, or at least being.
I do understand it, and it bugs me that I feel – I said this at the very beginning. I feel like this is a generational thing where there are people who are 25 now who don't know what it's like to struggle or don't think they should have to struggle because they're entitled to have somebody else pay for them.
No, I think we've seen how much you guys have struggled and how we're never going to make it.
I blame you. You're smarter than we are.
All right, thank you for the call.
You'd give money to a guy to make a movie.
Yes.
But you wouldn't give money to someone who's trying to get an education.
Yes, that's correct.
That twists
is a little
my brain. That twists my brain.
Well, I mean, I think they're two separate things. I mean,
but who can more afford to make the movie or the person who's trying to get the education? Who could better afford that luxury?
The person who can make the movie, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, and you gave that person money.
Yes, I did. Because I like supporting people who are trying to make art. That's why.
She's trying to make
that?
A life. How about life? How is life treating you? How do you like life?
Let's go to Randy Irvine, please, line 8.
Hi, Randy.
Hello, Randy. Hey, yes, you're on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can't. You're the Captain Dick of assumptions. At the end of the day,
all right, hold on. We need to back up.
He's Captain Dick on the SS Assumption?
And the ship is going down. All right, tell me why I'm so off base on this, Randy.
Okay, because, first of all, it's rainy, but it's okay. First of all, you just assume that she hasn't done anything. She started off the email with, I've tapped out family, I've tapped out friends. I mean, she's going to school. There's only so many hours in the day. There's only so many jobs. She's doing everything she can. She's just asking for a little bit of assistance. You're basing it off of the relationship you have with her. Well, exactly like Kevin said, then that's fine. Don't give to her if you don't want to, but don't be a dick assuming that she's not making the cutbacks and she's not doing what she needs to do on her own. I think she is.
I think she's in a lounge chair with an umbrella drink.
I think that's what I disagree with Bean, is that he is putting that on her, which is, I'm entitled. I don't have to work. I am entitled, so you should help me. And but I think that's not the way the email came off. That's not the way anything.
That's how it came off to me. Thank you for the call, Randy/Raymond. But, Allie, you said something that I think I agreed with, too, that I think may be part of what's going on here, which is I'm putting on her that I would never do this. Because right. I would never do this, it makes me feel uncomfortable that somebody else would do this, right. I think. I think that's part of it. So what's the conclusion, guys? We're out of time. What's the conclusion? I don't know if we were counting, but do we have a vote? Has it decided who... Sounds like you guys are undecided. Kevin and Bean Lister Wayne writes in, getting in my car with my 11-year-old daughter, and the Beans a Dick song comes on the moment I start the car.
Yep.
Sorry about that for your 11-year-old. P.S. Then she turns to me and says, Dad, it's true. Bean is a dick.
Yes.
Hey, how are you going to come at me like that, little 11-year-old?
Shaping a generation. Everybody has to learn at some point.
And by the way, one final note on this. We were talking about the friend of ours who's trying to crowdsource some money to pay her rent. Craig writes in two words, cam girl. Remember how much money Kendra was making when we had her in last week?
Yeah.
Remember how fast she was making that money as a cam girl? Maybe that's the answer. How about a little initiative, young lady?
Do you remember the time you donated $7,000 to a date with Scarlett Johansson that you didn't go on? Do you remember that money that you spent? No. Hold on. I'm just waiting for an answer here.
Do I recall that? Yes. That sounds familiar to me, Ralph. Why do you ask?
Now ask me how much this friend of ours was trying to raise total with this FundMe.
All of this money.
Total. The whole thing.
All of her friends pitching in to give her?
Yes. $800. Total.
Well, that's no not going on a date with Scarlett Johansson, helping someone out in need.
All right, let's move on, shall we?
All right.
How about a grand prize drawing? We promised that we would do that this morning. This is what? Is this Fall Out Boy in Tokyo,
yes,
the one
it
in
is.
Japan?
Yes, it is.
Who's our winner?
Danica Setters from Los Angeles. Danica Setters from Los Angeles.
Gets Danica Setters from
Los Angeles. The kids love her.
She is on her way to Tokyo, Japan to see Fall Out Boy. That is destination number 5 of K-Rock's World Tour 2015. Hey, it's time for a Ralph rant. Hit it, Steve.
One man. One quest. He doesn't sleep until corruption and deceit is brought to the forefront. His crusade is to make right on all that is wrong in the world. A fighter for injustice, he will avenge us all. His name, Ralph Garman, and this is Ralph's Rants.
Sense Kathy was just making that up as he went along for that intro.
That's what he does with everything. Yeah. What are you so upset about? How can you be this upset about
We're talking about movies a lot because of the Oscars over the weekend, but the biggest outrage of movies happened just prior to this weekend.
Okay.
We really didn't have a chance to properly talk about it.
Okay, what was it? Because you told us this on Friday, and I didn't understand how you could possibly care this much.
Freaking Aquaman.
Okay, freaking Aquaman.
Aquaman.
What's the issue?
They released the first image of how Aquaman is going to be represented in the new Batman v. Superman Dawn of Justice movie.
Okay, so this isn't not only not the movie, it's not a trailer, it's the first picture.
They showed a picture. It says Unite the Seven, and it's a photograph of Jason Momoa, who has been cast to play Aquaman as what we're assuming is going to be the movie's Aquaman character.
Okay.
Right. And I
and Jason Momoa, we know him from some sort of he was in a Swords and Sandals
Thrones
movie. And something else.
He was also Conan. He was
Conan.
They tried
that's him.
To reboot
okay.
Conan. He was Conan.
I know the guy you're talking about. All right. So what's wrong with him as Aquaman? Is he a bad choice?
He's not a bad choice, but what they're doing with Aquaman is here's the thing. It's a part of a much bigger problem, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Is that for some reason, when it comes to taking comic books and putting them up on the big screen, Marvel seems to have really get it right.
Right.
And DC really seems to get it wrong.
Okay.
And they're following down this path again with this image of Aquaman that they have released prior to the weekend. And I started the conversation, or some would say argument, off on Twitter by saying, would it kill Zack Snyder to make Aquaman look just a little effing bit like Aquaman in this movie? Would that be the end times? Would that be the ruination of this film if Aquaman looked a little bit like Aquaman?
Now, was that the moment that you and the nerds stopped skipping and holding hands and all the nerds got mad at you?
Then there was a nerd war. It was a big nerd war. Because some people feel the way I feel, and then there's some people that feel that this new Jason Momoa Aquaman, who looks intimidating, don't get me wrong, he looks scary. Well, he looks like a bouncer at a gay bondage nightclub is what he looks like.
Yeah, he sort of does.
And they say, that's how Aquaman should look badass. And to which I would say, F you. First of all. And second of all, can't there be a middle ground? I'm not, and people say, what do you want, Super Friends Aquaman riding a seahorse, talking to salmon? And like, look, I know Aquaman doesn't have the greatest rep in the world when it comes to superheroes. He's been a source of mockery for a lot of people for a long time.
Because he talks to fish. Let's not forget that's his superpower.
Listen, asses.
Stupid.
The planet Earth is covered three quarters with water.
Right.
He kicks ass in that domain. He rules in the water. And yes, he can command sea animals to do his bidding, which, if there's a shark around, I'd like to have him on my side.
Okay.
And not to mention, he has super strength because he lives underwater, and the pressure of living all at the bottom of the ocean has strengthened him to the point where his musculature is, he could tear you apart, limb from limb.
Are you able to take a step back and go, how am I this upset about a cartoon?
Now, this character's been around since the early 1940s in many incarnations, but primarily known for one sort of general look. And I can understand if you don't want to give him an orange spandex top and some green spandex leggings and some green gauntlets. Perhaps that color palette is a little too unreal for you as you make your real movie about comic book superheroes, Zack Snyder. But I'm saying maybe there's a way to pay homage, if you will, to that character's source costume and still add enough badassery to make the Zack Snyder, Christopher Nolan, Batman Begins nerds happy as well.
Ralph, let me ask a bigger picture question. Again, if you're just joining us, Ralph's complaining that the picture of Aquaman doesn't look like the way he wanted it to look, so all the nerds are mad at him.
It doesn't look like Aquaman. Looks like an interesting character. Could be Namor, the Submariner. Could be him, maybe. Yeah. But it's not at all Aquaman.
With all these superhero movies that have been so popular lately, how closely do they try to make the actor and the costume look like what's on the page?
Well, here's the thing. Marvel seems to have no problem with making Captain America look like Captain America. Iron Man looks like Iron Man. Spider-Man looks like Spider-Man over at Sony. Looks like they have no problem. They have no qualms that people won't be able to accept the reality of a guy swinging through a city on a web in a Spider-Man costume. They don't worry about that. But DC is like, oh, no, it's got to be gritty and it's got to be realistic. And we have to, ooh, Superman, he's red and blue. But let's not make him too red and blue. Let's make him sort of a dirty red and blue. Like he's been rolling around in the dirt for a while, like a muted red and blue.
Didn't you think this would happen, though, with Zack Snyder? He has a set way of doing things and
yes,
a set look.
But hope springs eternal. And you think that maybe because this character, Aquaman, comes from a different world at the bottom of the ocean, that maybe he wouldn't be subjected to the same sort of real-life stank that Zack Snyder puts on all of his stuff. He made Superman a hobo, first of all, and Superman was just like wandering around with a beard and a bindle on his back, one of those poles with a kerchief tied on the back of it as he rode the rails. He hates the source material, hates it.
So why is he making the movies?
To which I would say, then don't make comic book movies if you don't want to make them based on the comic books. If Zack Snyder made Iron Man would wear black rubber leather. But Marvel Marvel says, no, Iron Man, he's gold and he's yellow. Let him be. Let him be red and yellow in that armor. Just go with the grace of God. Go you, Jon Favreau. Make Iron Man. And he did. It was a huge success. And Marvel's made more money with a walking tree and a raccoon than Zack Snyder made with Superman. He couldn't make more money with Superman, the best-known character in the world. And they did it with a raccoon and a tree.
When you put it that way,
I think I might be on Team Ralph for this one.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Beer Mug back on the red carpet, this time for Hot Tub Time Machine 2. We've got those interviews for you coming up right after the top of the hour. Allie McKay is here. Hi, Allie.
Good morning.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
It's exciting to be in the room with Allie McKay.
She smells good.
Usually she's sitting in my seat.
Yeah.
I like it.
Doing my stuff. But here we all are together, man.
A little better, maybe.
What? The what?
What?
How dare you, sir?
What?
Last night it was Oscar, Oscar. In case you missed it, here's who won what. Best animated feature went to Big Hero 6, which is a great movie.
Didn't see it.
Great movie.
It was funny, though, the way Neil Patrick Harris introduced that category by saying, if you're partying with the guys who made the Lego movie, you might want to distract them right now.
Yes.
They were not nominated, inexplicably.
Best original screenplay went to Alejandro González Iñárritu. Who gave that guy a green card? You know what I'm saying? For Birdman, best adapted screenplay went to Graham Moore for The Imitation Game. Best supporting actor, one of my favorites, J.K. Simmons. He's a guy who's been great his whole career.
Yep.
Doing commercials and television and movies and just working, being awesome. And then at this stage in his career, gets an Oscar.
Call your mom.
Couldn't be happy.
Call your mom.
Call your parents.
He yelled at us.
Best supporting actress, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood. Couldn't help but wonder when she won the award if she regretted the decision to pass on the hairstylist before she left the house.
And the granny glasses. What do you guys think? We haven't talked about this. What do you guys think of, it's the age-old problem, some say, of those damned Hollywood liberals getting up there and not making it about the movies, but making it about their causes. And she went on a one-minute rant about women and their pay in the workplace. Appropriate, inappropriate?
Appropriate. It was perfection. Thank you.
Typical woman.
Right. When I wasn't in the kitchen making a sandwich, yeah. I caught that part of the speech, and I loved it.
Maybe you loved her cause, but what if she had spent that time talking about saving the whales or something? Would you have been as on board?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, here's the thing. I think because it is a cause that is, like, ridiculous, that it's not.
Right.
That it's still an issue, that we're still even dealing with it.
But is the Oscars the place to talk about it? That's my question.
Well, given that her character is a single mom in the film,
mm-hmm.
and has to raise those kids pretty much on her own.
And has a tough time of it.
And has a tough time of it. I think it's sort of applicable. It's not like she was playing an alien, you know, starship captain or something like that. It seemed like it was appropriate.
Okay.
I have no problem with it.
Why do you hate women, Bean?
Yeah, it's Bean. Why do you want women to stay, in the kitchen barefoot and pregnant?
It's just it always just seems like it's not what the Oscars are there for.
Did you have a problem with John Legend and Common talking about racial equality in this country?
No, I thought about that. I mean, that is clearly what their song is about. That's for sure. And that's what their movie is about. And their speech was great. I didn't.
So
because
you
like blacks, but you hate women. Yeah.
I guess that's our takeaway. I guess that's it.
Especially women who ask for money. We know that.
Not just money, just equal pay. That's it.
Eddie Redmayne won for The Theory of Everything for his work as Stephen Hawking. Julianne Moore for her work in Still Alice, or Joanna Moore, depending on who you ask here at the station.
That's true.
Best director was Alejandro González Iñárritu. I just like saying that. For Birdman and Best Picture.
You're probably the only one on this show who can say that, Ralph, so you take it.
It's very, very fun to say. Also this weekend, while we're talking about the best in motion pictures, how about the worst? The 35th Annual Razzie Awards were handed out on Saturday night. Congratulations to big winner Kirk Cameron. He picked up 4 awards for his movie, Saving Christmas.
I haven't seen that, but people say it's...
Just watch the trailer.
Perhaps it's the worst movie of all time.
I believe it still has the worst rating ever on RottenTomatoes.com.
Wow.
That's some tough competition.
That is some tough competition. He picked up Worst Picture for Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas, which is the complete title, by the way. Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas.
His name is at the beginning of it? What?
He's like the Tyler Perry of the Holy Rollers. Worst Actor, once again, Kirk Cameron in Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas. Worst Actress, That nod went to Cameron Diaz. She's a double threat for The Other Woman and Sex Tape. She won for both of those performances. Worst supporting actress went to Megan Fox for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Worst supporting actor, Kelsey Grammer, in his body of work for the year, Expendables 3, Legends of Oz, Think Like a Man 2, and Transformers 4. Worst director went to Michael Bay for Transformers 4. Worst screen combo went to Kirk Cameron and his ego in Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas. Worst screenplay was Saving Christmas. Worst remake, ripoff, or sequel was Annie, the all-African-American version of Annie, which I have named Tanny, of course, but no one seems sure. to be... No one seems to be picking me up on that.
Your title was way better.
No one seems to be going with that. Even Neil Patrick Harris made a joke about it last night.
He did.
Like, come on, Tanny. Come on, Tanny. Nope, nothing. And the Razzie Redeemer Award for a person with the most Rammies who has turned their career around went to Ben Affleck. Can't complain with
all
that.
Right.
He certainly has
true.
Gone from the bottom to the top.
Now we're here.
Now we're here. Today's celebrity birthdays. It was kind of funny in the Neil Patrick Harris's intro is a big musical number to bring out the show. When he said the sexual tension between Matt Damon and Ben Affleck was one of his favorite things in the movie. It was very funny. Josh Gad kicks off celebrity birthdays. 34 years old today. Actress Emily Blunt is 32. Actor-comedian Aziz Ansari is 32 as well. And actress Dakota Fanning celebrates 21st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Fantastic.
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 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:04.
Hey, Beer Mug.
What's up, Bean?
How is your butt that had a sauna on Friday's show?
Oh, I feel like a new man after that. It really did help. That's honestly...
Help what? What kind of problems were you having?
Hemorrhoid?
Why would you ask that question?
What's wrong with you? That can only be negative answers to that.
It just seemed like an odd thing to say, yeah, steam up my butt helps. I was like, what could that help?
For those who weren't with us on Friday, you're so, so very lucky, but Beer Mug had the A-steam.
Look at Allie McKay's face right now.
It's not.
She's never been more disgusted.
Oh, it was horrifying. It was horrifying. So anyway, so is it something
you... But at least the smell was terrible.
Yeah. At least that
is it something you would do again, Muggs? Was it that refreshing for you? Really?
I think so. I am. It's going to be part of me in the future.
Okay. All right. Well, Muggs is here today not to recap those grisly details, but because we sent him once again out on the red carpet to the Hollywood premiere of Hot Tub Time Machine 2. How did it go, Muggs?
Awesome. This is like the first time that I got all the stars in the movie that are actually on the movie poster board. Everybody in it. Adam Scott, Craig Robinson, Rob Corddry, and Clark Duke.
Here's his introduction.
Oh, yeah. Check me out. What's up, party people? Beer Mug here in Westwood for the red carpet world premiere of Hot Tub Time Machine 2. Take three. The very highly anticipated sequel to Hot Tub Time Machine. And as you can see, I'm in my very awesome hot tub getup.
Now, what does that mean?
I thought I would change it up a little bit. You know, I usually go to these red carpet interviews just wearing just normal civilian clothes. So I decided to make my own outfit.
What is a Hot Tub Time Machine outfit,
though? I had a cut-off flannel with my tie that I think I was bar mitzvahed in. I was wearing flip-flops and shorts.
But you weren't patterning yourself after anybody in the movie.
No.
This is just your idea.
That's what you wear to a hot tub? Is your flannel shirt and tie and shorts?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I'm already very confused.
I'm very lost as well. Jason D. Jones.
Ah, J.D. Jones.
J.D. Jones. Muggs is talking about this movie, and as you can imagine, probably it's tough to keep a straight face through a lot of this.
Now, you work with Rob on The Daily Show. Working on Hot Tub Time Machine 2 with him and the other guys, Craig Robinson, Clark Duke. How many times did you guys break character during filming?
By break character, you mean laugh at each other?
Yeah.
I would say every take.
Every take?
Yes.
How do you guys get back down to center?
That's a great question. That is a great question.
To center.
How do you guys get down to back to center?
Yeah, what I meant to say is, how do you guys get back into character?
Ah,
I don't know.
Okay.
That.
All right.
That would be different.
I love Muggs' catch-all questions.
What do you think fans will expect from Hot Tub Time Machine 2? Anything?
I think there's more lady parts in it, I think.
That's good.
I think.
That's good.
There might be more men parts, too.
Well, that works for me.
Yeah. What do you think fans will expect from Hot Tub Time Machine 2? Anything?
That's a weird question.
Is that broad?
War.
Well, it's a weird question that you followed it up with anything, but how would he know what fans
are expecting?
Yeah, he wouldn't know that, I guess.
No, he wouldn't know that.
It's a bad question.
Yeah. All right, Clark Duke.
My friend Clark Duke, who came in on Friday.
Love Clark Duke.
With Bugs.
I mean, how can you, like, really, how can you top the first one? I mean, it's such, it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm speechless about it, Clark. I really am.
All right. He doesn't get to speak, but Muggs, first of all, says, how can you top the first one? And then just lets
right.
you.
And that's it. The second one's coming out, you know. They're going to try right. to make money with a second film. He says you can't do that. You can't top the first one. And at least you get speechless on a red carpet, which is a good place to have nothing to say, by the way.
Now, you're a serious actor with a very. No, you're not?
Nope. I'm a comedian.
Nope, comedian.
Clark Duke has no time for your nonsense, by the way. He's shutting you down.
How much do we love Rob Corddry?
All.
Muggs asks him a stupid question, and he gives him just a flippant answer and just keeps on walking. He's my hero.
Any awesome stories from filming?
Yeah. I got a ton of them. Ton of them.
Thank you, Rob.
I love Rob Corddry so much. Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson.
I want you guys to listen, like you're going to be able to avoid it, to the mic work that's being done by Muggs. I'm not exactly sure how far Craig was, maybe a mile from where Muggs was.
Craig, how do you get your hair so neat, man?
Jackie Brown, but today was Maurice Manley.
All right, cool.
How far was he? Okay. How come he wouldn't?
Now, what happened there,
Mike? This is what happened. It was toward the end of the carpet, and they bunch everybody together. And I had to sneak in and from a far distance and try to get him. That's
well,
that's
you didn't happened. Want to lose out on that big hair question.
That is true.
Sure. How do you get your hair like that?
If you don't get that hair answer, the whole interview is pointless.
But did you see? Have you seen his hair, Ralph? It's so perfect. He's the perfect.
Black people love to talk about their hair, Mugs. We know that.
Afro.
Craig Robinson, part two.
Do you have any grooming tips for my nasty beard?
Enough about you. Let's talk about me
Holy
and my facial
crap.
Hair. Let's talk about my face and how I can make it better. My face, though, not yours.
Absolutely not. That's a sexy beard, Holmes.
Yeah, he walked on. Smart.
Very nice of Craig.
He complimented
me. To these people.
So, but there's a long series of beer mug questions, which is, can you write a song about me? What would you say to me if I were trying to do MMA? Hey, what tips would you give for me to be a drummer? I mean, that is
my
one of Muggs'
friend liked this movie.
Right. Yeah. That's one of Muggs' go-to.
All right. So speaking of that, you guys heard him describe what outfit he was wearing there.
Right.
He gets to talk to Adam Scott. And his question is, what about me and how what do you think of how I look?
Adam, real quick, beer mug from Kevin and Bean. How do you like my hot tub time machine outfit?
Is that...
Now, he's just trying to figure out, first of all, what the question means, and second of all, why are you dressed this way?
Does someone dress like that in the movie?
No, it's what I put together is what I thought my best hot tub outfit would be if I were to jump in. If I were to jump in the hot tub with you guys.
You know what we would want you to put on to jump in the hot tub with us?
What?
Nothing.
Oh!
We want you to be in your birthday suit.
Skinny dip?
You know what I mean. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. We want your penis out.
Thank God. Awesome.
There are funny people on that red carpet.
I would have just
you.
I would have just been so confused if I were Adam Scott and some Nimrod came up to me and said, "What do you think of
this outfit?"
Yeah,
flannel with a tie.
How would he know in a million years that's a hot tub outfit?
So going through his mind is anyone in the movie dressed
like this? He's supposed to look like some character that I'm not aware of.
What's happening right now?
Should I have lied and told him yes?
You shouldn't be an asshole.
If that were possible.
All right, so there you have it. The Hot Tub Time Machine 2 premiere. Now I'm going to go get into the time machine tub. Got all the stars, the main stars. That's all that counts. Now if you don't mind, I'm going to hop in the hot tub and go change my childhood. That was lame. So there you have it. Hot Tub Time Machine 2 world premiere. Got all the stars of the movie. Now if you don't mind, I'm going to hot tub in the...
What?
Now if you don't mind, I'm going to jump in the hot tub and fix my childhood. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump in the hot tub and go change my childhood. Almost had it.
No!
But what did you almost have?
Yeah, even if you got it right, what did you have?
He's so dedicated to that particular joke that he sat there for an hour trying to make
it
work.
Honing it.
Yeah, right.
Because really.
Even if you say it perfectly.
You got those words right. It would have been hilarious.
I'm bad.
You think?
Anyway, tonight was the Oscars, and of course, going to the Best Picture was Birdman, right. And then Best Supporting Actress was Patricia Arquette
yes.
for Boyhood.
Right, right.
And that was on film, and there was a couple, few other movies film, that were actually on film that won awards for the best costume design, the Grand Buddhist Hotel.
Not Buddhist.
Best makeup and hairstyling, of course, went to the Grand Buddhist Hotel.
Pretty sure it's not Buddhist.
And best production design went to Buddhist Hotel.
All right. That's the fourth time you said that.
Filmed on film. And then the best visual effects went to Interstellar.
Interstellar.
And that was on film as well.
What the?
We got to bring film back.
What
film
are you talking about?
You know, it's incredible. It's just, you really want to see a good movie, you got to go see it on film. None of that digital stuff.
What does that mean? You know, digital's part of making film now, right, Rodney?
Were some of these movies not made on film?
No, they're all on
all
film.
Made on they were.
Film.
I'm confused, Rodney.
Is he saying they're not digital cameras, so they don't have like a hard drive? Is that what he's talking about? The difference?
Maybe he's talking shot digitally because they shoot on hard drive, then they edit it, and then they transfer it to a film print when it's.
How do you know which one is shot on film?
Distributed. I'm not sure.
That guy doesn't know. The Grand Buddhist Hotel guy doesn't know.
No, he doesn't know.
That sure.
He
has no idea.
Speaking of the Academy Awards, there's so much to get into from the telecast last night, but there was also our friend Jimmy Kimmel does his After the Oscars special. We had him on Friday talking about it. This was the 10th year in a row he did it, and he did some very, very funny stuff, including the Light Witness News, by the way, which was great, where he goes out on the street and gets people to describe movies that they never saw.
Yes.
But Kevin, you have a kind of a personal connection to the story Jimmy told on TV last night.
Yeah, it was I didn't remember half of it. We dressed up in tuxedos, Jimmy and I, and we went to break into the Oscars. It was our plan, and we found the kitchen entrance, and so we went into the kitchen having no idea like where to go or if the kitchen leads here or there. We had no idea. We're just wandering around, and we ended up in the giant ballroom, sort of after the Oscars, and I had forgotten
the governor's ball.
Yeah, the governor's ball, and I had forgotten that we ran into John Travolta while we were in there. And Jimmy told the story last night.
19 years ago, I was a radio disc jockey. I worked at K-Rock here in L.A.
Yes.
And my partner Kevin and I decided we were going to sneak into the governor's ball, the big party across the street at the Oscars.
Was I there?
You were there.
Yeah.
And we had microphones and everything. And so it took us forever. We spent the whole day there. We had rental tuxedos. We camped out in the banquet
room. Were you Jimmy Kimmel then?
Legally, yes. But nobody would have. I was just a radio guy. Nobody would have known who I was.
Okay.
So we go to this thing and we're there and nobody wants to talk to us until we see you. And we said, hey, we work at this radio station. We snuck in here. Will you mind doing an interview with us? And you laughed, and you were very nice, and you did an interview with us. And then at the end of the interview, you said, are you guys hungry? And we said, yeah, well, of course we are. And you went and got us food, and you put the food down in front of us.
Wow.
Wow.
John Travolta.
How could you spend so much time making fun of him today? He's such a nice guy. He was so good to you.
Because I didn't remember that whole second half of that story.
How do you not remember your night with John Travolta?
I've done a lot of stupid things in my life, Ralph. You know that.
By the way, I was
a lot
just
of stupid things.
I was sitting here thinking, as John Travolta is hearing that story unfold, I bet he is terrified how it's going to end.
Right.
So we came up to you, John Travolta. John Travolta was like, oh, my God, did I touch you? Did I take you home? What happened?
You gave us a meal. You asked us for a massage.
He must have been so relieved to hear that story ended with him just getting you food
being
and being
nice.
A cool guy. Yeah. Yeah. That's, how do you forget something like that, Kevin? Seems like that would be burned into your memory.
Yeah, it was 19
you
years
need
ago.
To get checked out.
But it's John Travolta. He brought you a plate of food.
You need happened. A scam of some kind.
Hey, look, this is no way to run a life. But what are you going to do?
I didn't
remember that part.
And then one more thing from the Academy Awards.
By the way,
just
because he gave us food and he was nice to us doesn't mean that he didn't look like a plastic face last night.
I agree, but I wouldn't be as eager to jump all over him if I were you and that had happened. I would have been like, you know, he was kind of a good guy. Do I feel bad, like, you know, mocking him?
This is going to surprise you, but I don't have a good memory.
That does surprise me.
One more thing from the show last night we haven't had a chance to talk about is Terrence Howard, the terrific Oscar-nominated previously actor who stars on Empire right now.
Empire.
He came out last night.
An empire to share with one of his sons who must step up for empire.
He does sound like that on the show. So his job last night is to introduce. They kind of broke up the eight pictures that were nominated for Best Picture into groups. And he was going to introduce three of those movies, like a quick 30 seconds on each movie, and then throw it to the clips. And I don't know whether he lost his place or if he just got emotional or if he was plastered. But something was going on with Terrence Howard.
How far would you go to be great, huh? How far would you go to help someone find the greatness in themselves? That's Whiplash. This film, this story about a young musician desperately trying to please his ruthless teacher, is a thrilling symphony that's both... It's mind-blowing.
Not on the script.
Our next film...
It's both mind-blowing.
Yes. That's how you know it's not part of the script.
It is both
because
mind-blowing.
Because it is both... It is mind-blowing.
Now,
much
this...
like my empire.
At this point, are we guessing Lost...
I'm guessing glug, 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 glug.
Our next film is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Not in the script.
I'm blown away right now myself.
Not in the script.
Because I can't see the teleprompter?
Yeah.
Is that why I'm blown away?
Prompter went down. That's what I initially thought.
Prompter went down? Prompter?
Yeah, I thought prompter went down. I'm just going to keep giving out adjectives until they get it back up.
Seeing positive things about everything until I see something to read.
Our next nominee for Best Picture reveals how the visionary father of modern computing, Alan Turing, helps defeat the Nazis only to have his own greatness stripped away from him because of his sexual orientation. The Imitation Game is as potent and uncompromising.
Now, what's happening there?
Then I knew it wasn't the prompter. Then I knew.
It's like what Kevin does on a regular basis here on the show. Hits his head on the microphone and falls over. Now, Kevin's drunk most of the time.
The camera was off of him at that time, right? They were showing a clip from the film or something, so we didn't see it. But, yeah, it sounds like he face planted into his microphone.
I expected to come back and see the mic like all wrapped around his neck.
And Jerry Lewis moment.
He's on the floor.
Oh, help me with that whole thing and the knife with the wrapping.
As Turing himself, the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is given voice in our last nominated
film. Stop right there. There was no transition whatsoever between those paragraphs, right?
Because he was about to die from the microphone attack.
He just keeps on reading. No break or anything like that. Now he's into a different movie.
Because it's mind-blowing. Much like my empire.
Okay, so here's the question. If you're going out on stage at the Academy Awards, are you really, like, that emotional? That's not possible, right?
Well, I thought he was getting emotional. I think we all did, because he was about to talk about Selma when he was talking about how mind-blowing everything was. But then he started talking about Imitation Game. So I was very confused.
I truly hate the Nazis. Nazis tried to build an empire, but not a good empire. A Third Reich empire of hatred, and my mind is blown.
Here's what I love about you, Kevin, is that you couldn't click away from Kickstarters with a guy who's got the cure for AIDS, but you can't wait to donate money to the Cool Baby. Am I right?
Have you seen Cool Baby?
Yes, I have
you seen
Cool
it?
Baby. Where did you first see Cool Baby that you fell in love with it so head over heels?
I don't know. So somebody tweeted the link, and I went to the video, and the video is... really creepy and disturbing and awesome.
Cool Baby is, well, let's let the creator of Cool Baby tell you what it is and see if you want to get in on the Kickstarter and get this product made. Simon Fillion joins us on the phone right now here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, Simon, how are you, man?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm in.
Where do you work out of, Simon? What city are you in?
I'm in New York, actually. I'm working an at work right now. They don't know what I'm doing on the phone. So.
All right. Excellent.
All right. Well, if you start talking gibberish, we'll know that you're doing it to cover up this conversation for your coworkers. Tell us, tell our listeners what the Cool Baby is, please.
The Cool Baby is an opportunity to get expressive and have a good time while enjoying a beverage. Something that's a step up from using a regular old 36-ounce cup.
Okay.
And it is a hands-free neoprene-skinned baby that surrounds and insulates and keeps cool a beverage-holding container within, and the straws on the top of the head, and the front mounted on your torso.
So you walk in there like Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover, and people think, oh, look how sweet that is. That dad's got his little baby with him. And what they don't know is you have brought in like 2 liters of vodka.
Yeah, and by the time they realize it, they've already given you their seat on the subway and et cetera.
And now you're drinking your alcohol out of the back of a baby's head.
Yeah, or whatever. It could be orange juice. It could be cranberry juice.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a lot of occasions to sneak cranberry juice into an event.
Exactly.
So you took this to Kickstarter because you are trying, because it looks like you've already got at least one made, the one that we saw in the commercial, but you're trying to put them into mass production or what?
Yes. So the prototype, I don't know if you guys ever made anything prototyping. It's kind of an expensive proposition, but I got that guy made and have all the CAD and material samples and stuff ready to go. Now I'm just trying to get funding so I can get some factories retooled and get them made quicker.
My fear is that it's not real, that you're just being funny and you wouldn't follow through. And I really want Cool Baby.
I want it. I am so crazily transfixed on this thing. If the Kickstarter doesn't happen, because media picked up kind of late with it, I only have, 4 or 5 days left on this thing?
Right.
I'm going to find another way. This is going to happen.
That's what I'm talking about. Cool Baby has to happen.
Let me ask you this, Simon, because I don't know much about how Kickstarter works, but if your program doesn't get funded, are you allowed to wait 30 days and put it back up and try again, or no? Is that against the rules?
I do know that you are allowed to do it again. I haven't checked into what the span of time is you have to wait, and I know that some of the most successful Kickstarters in history failed their first time. So.
Oh, how about that? How about that?
Now, the video is super unbelievably creepy.
Thank you.
Kevin, was there a question?
Nope. Here's a little bit of it.
My sports team is the best sports team, and your sports team is the worst. The difference between my and your sports team is like the difference between good things and bad.
Now that is the sound of you drinking out of the baby's the back of the baby's head.
Yes.
And he's putting the black under his eyes. I mean, he's getting into it. He's letting you know, I'm bringing my baby to a sporting event.
That's right.
And the baby's on my team, damn it.
Sure. Which is the best sports team.
Absolutely.
We're talking to Simon Philly, and his Kickstarter is under The Cool Baby. 5 days to go. You need $70,000. Let's go to Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer in the other room. Where's Simon at towards $70,000 goal, Dave?
He has raised $1,462.
Why wouldn't you say 14,000? Who says it like that? Who says numbers like that?
So you're only.
Is there a speaking spell?
Yes, as a matter of fact, he is. You're only about a fifth of the way there. What are we going to do to get this Kickstarter kickstarted?
We're going to play some more of the video. That's what we're going to do. That's him drinking.
My parents used to say, don't watch too much TV. It'll rot your brain. Well, they're dead now, and I have never felt so alive.
Simon Fillion, The Cool Baby Kickstarter. It's a baby that you wear, on your chest and then drink out of his head. Now, you mentioned on the Kickstarter page that white babies only at this point, but you're hoping if this thing gets funded, you'll be able to provide babies for everybody, right?
Exactly. No, I have a dream. And there's going to be literally every single ethnicity in the world will be covered, and I'm also going to have several different choices for disposition. As of right now, the only choice that people have is gender or sexual orientation.
Because sexual orientation is important to baby.
Mm-hmm. I'm not making them that way. They're just happening that way.
All right, here's one final clip from the video.
Jody's baby shower. Gotta look good for the girls. 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 Gotta look good for the girls.
Wow.
That's a nightmare. That is a nightmare. And you do not make a good-looking woman, Simon.
No. That's exactly what my dad said.
Yeah. All right. The Cool Baby on Kickstarter. Let's pledge this thing. Let's get these things made. Our dream, Kevin, is to see like 1,000 of these at the Weenie Roast this summer.
Oh, that would be so great.
Right? Simon, glad you came. Yeah, go ahead.
That, Thank you so much for having me on, guys. That is a wonderful vision you have.
Well, you are a great American. You keep doing what you're doing there, sir.
Thank you, brother.
You
Thank
bet.
You guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:51.
More highlights of the 87th Annual Academy Awards from last night. I think they were also the 88th and a little bit into the 89th. They were a long, long show. That's coming up right after the top of the hour. First, the wrap is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Speaking of Oscar.
Yes.
Many of us were moved by the acceptance speech of writer Graham Moore. He won the Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay. His script for The Imitation Game was brilliantly written and a well-deserved award. And during his acceptance speech, he spoke of the fact that at 16, he tried to kill himself. He was obviously sharing the experience as a young gay man who felt like he didn't belong. And he encouraged everyone to stay weird because it does get better. You will fit in. Here's the only thing. Graham Moore's not gay.
What?
So everyone stop assuming
excuse
that,
me?
Please. Let's not all say, hey, oh, that poor, that guy's an inspiration to gay teens everywhere. Not gay.
He's not gay?
Not gay.
That was his whole point of, hey, it's a shame that
That's
Benedict Cumberbatch character couldn't stand on the stage like I can today and be accepted for who I am.
Yep.
That movie was about a guy who was gay.
It was. And he wrote it, but he's not gay.
What?
Apparently there's more than one way you can be a teenager and not feel like you fit in. You don't have to be gay.
Sure, but was that bad on us for assuming? It just seemed like the,
I think what the happens when you assume, Kevin.
But I think the context of his remarks and the movie that he wrote led us to that conclusion. Plus, I'm not saying you can tell somebody's gay by looking at him, but he wasn't sending off a huge anti-gay,
Listen,
not gay
Bean,
vibe.
I understand you find him attractive and desperately want him to be gay, but I'm telling you he's not gay. Here's what he said backstage about not being gay. I'm not gay.
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
Yeah, but you're just interpreting what you want to believe in his remarks.
I'm not gay.
And the way you read that is that he isn't gay?
Here's the words he used. I am not gay.
What does he mean?
What does he mean?
Well, Allie, I believe he means I'm.
Right.
Contraction of I and am.
Which is so far.
Not being the negative.
Right.
Gay. I assume meaning homosexual.
But he loves men.
My point is, he is not gay.
Okay.
He said, I'm not gay, but I've never talked publicly about depression before or any of that. And that was so much of what the movie was about. And it was one of the things that drew me to Alan Turing so much. Now, Turing did suffer from depression because of his situation.
Right.
And apparently that's what Graham Moore was referring to. I feel like we're all weirdos for different reasons. Alan had his share of them, and I had my own. And that's what always moved me so much about his story.
Well, that was a very confusing speech then.
Well, maybe you shouldn't read into it as much as you would like the attractive young filmmaker to be gay, Bean.
He's a good-looking dude.
That's all I'm saying. He's not unattractive. And I've always said, you don't have to be gay to have a little fun with the fellas, you know?
Right.
Who's with me?
Sure.
Anybody?
You're any port in the storm guy.
I'm just saying, we're all people, right?
Fantastic.
Can't we all just get along? What fresh zoo is this? Let's take a look at the weekend's box office as we do on Monday to see what people went to see at the movies. Well, 50 Shades of Grey obviously couldn't do as well as it did in its opening weekend, but plummeted. Dropped off more than 70% in its second week of release. I think all of the cat ladies went opening night.
Probably twice that weekend.
And then word got out that maybe it wasn't the greatest film. It doesn't have legs, as they say in the business. Allie, did you see 50 Shades of Grey?
I did not. No interest. Didn't read the book either.
Isn't that an obligation?
It's a lady thing.
Isn't that an obligation that your sex
not.
Has?
No.
Isn't there some sort of thing at the meeting where they have to get your card stamped or something?
No, I got my card stamped.
I'm sure you did.
That's a euphemism, right?
Yeah.
I believe so.
She's not gay, though.
Right.
Right.
Nor do I have cats. Maybe
that's why, yeah. Anyway, 50 Shades of Grey made $23.2 million this weekend. Kingsman: The Secret Service made $17.5 million, made it number two. The SpongeBob movie continues to be a big hit, $15.5 million for Sponge Out of Water. Then McFarlane USA, the new Kevin Costner film about kids running, $11.3 million. Maybe I'm not selling that as well as I could.
That's about right.
That's a good recap.
The Duff, Designated Ugly Fat Friend, just a cruel title.
Yeah.
On every level.
It is.
Its debut made $11 million, then American Sniper was sixth. Hot Tub Time Machine 2 underperformed in its debut weekend, just $5.8 million, made it number seven. Jupiter Ascending, The Imitation Game. The writer of The Imitation Game, by the way, not gay.
Heard that.
Graham Moore. And Paddington for the Kiddies, number 10.
Now, he is gay.
This week. Paddington the Bear, oh, from way back. That's why I think they call him Paddington the Bear. It's a bear, dude.
That's right.
I'll tell you, it's not just Brian Williams that lies. All newsmen lie. That's what I found out.
Wow.
That's not true. I would say it is true.
How did you come to this conclusion?
Turns out Bill O'Reilly's a liar.
Now what?
Mother Jones Magazine has looked at some of his claims regarding his wartime reporting experience. It turns out Bill O'Reilly claimed as a CBS correspondent in the 1980s, he heroically rescued his cameraman in a war zone in the Falklands in Argentina while being chased by army soldiers. Here's the thing. No American journalist was allowed in the Falkland Islands during this conflict. O'Reilly and his colleagues covered the war from Buenos Aires, Argentina, which is 1,200 miles away from where the fighting was happening.
You liar!
Semantics.
So he didn't save his cameraman from soldiers, is what happened.
What do you guys think will happen to Bill O'Reilly? Anything similar to what happened to Brian Williams?
Not a thing.
If you start taking people off of Fox News for making stuff up, you're going to have a test pattern over there. But I just thought that was interesting.
I also feel like people sort of know that Bill O'Reilly is a
bag of hot air.
Yeah, you don't expect him to have the credibility that Brian Williams
did.
That's
kind of sad.
It is. But,
very sad.
Well, I mean, he is more of a talk show host personality rather than an anchorman.
Right.
I guess. So I think you actually get a little more leeway if you're in Bill O'Reilly's position than you do if
you're Brian.
He was
a reporter for a long time.
He was.
I mean, there's supposed to be some...
Yeah, he should have some journalistic ethics. Word, absolutely, yeah.
Truth to what they report. Right? Or
but look at all the
Stephen
stuff
Colbert say truthiness, right?
Is that right. Yep. Look at all the stuff he made up in the Kennedy book and the Lincoln book, too, though.
Yeah, well, they were works of fiction, largely, weren't they?
I think they were supposed to be based on fact, though.
None of us read that.
Yeah, I didn't read any of the Killing
books.
I'm
just saying Bill O'Reilly's shaky. I like him. I like him, and I like his show, but he's shaky.
He's also not gay, by the way.
Not gay.
That's
not
true.
Gay.
Scarlett Johansson is dabbling in music. She does every so now and then. What? Her latest effort's an all-girl group called The Singles. She sings lead. The band includes...
I'm sorry.
S-T-I-M on drums. She told RollingStone.com that she wanted to do super pop dance music written and performed by girls. By girls, for girls. First single is called Candy. And I'm telling you, it's a catchy little ditty. Here's the new single from the band The Singles with Scarlett Johansson singing lead.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nose is such a mess.
That's not
but
it.
Hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress.
No, that's the rap from The Bachelor.
And I love making you laugh.
Sounds
I've been
good.
Working so hard.
Not.
Yeah, time and a half.
Flying down low rapids, my heart is beating fast. I hope I don't fall out so I can make love last.
That doesn't sound very good.
Oh, it's a duets album.
That was the rap from The Bachelor. That's nuts.
Oh, you wanted the Scarlett Johansson.
That's what I asked for. Yeah.
You got me in the mood for love. Cause boy, you my chocolate from above. You're like candy to my heart. Ooh, candy to my heart.
What do we think? Gotta shake your ass when you hear it.
I think I've always enjoyed the music of Taylor Dane.
How dare you?
It's very 80s.
What do we think she means by enjoy my chocolate from above?
I'm thinking there's a glass table involved.
And
Chuck Berry.
No.
Underneath the glass table. And Bill Cosby's making the drinks.
But that's what she said, right?
Yeah, please go.
It's Who am I to judge? Where people get their chocolate from. I'm not.
That's true.
That's not my way.
That's true.
I'm open-minded.
You're fine getting chocolate from anywhere.
I'll take chocolate from anybody.
That's right. I've known that about you your whole life.
Do you hear people are snorting chocolate? Did you read the new story? The new thing is now snorting chocolate?
No, but I got to try it.
Why do you have to try it?
Chocolate is good in every orifice.
Wow.
But don't we, isn't enough to eat it? Do we have to start snorting cocoa powder?
I don't really know. till I try it.
It's a thing. Maybe. All right. Kevin Stewart's cocoa powder in an upcoming episode. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Josh Gad is 34 years old today. Actress Emily Blunt turns 32. Aziz Ansari, talented comedian and actor, is 32 as well. And Dakota Fanning is 21 years of age today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
But we can be done with the award seasons now, right? Now that we've been through...
I think this is the last one, isn't it?
The Directors Guild and the Writers Guild and all of the Critics' Choice and the Film Critics and the Independent Spirit and now the Academy Awards. Yeah, we've got to be done. I don't think the new award season cranks up for like another 90 days.
All right, so we'll take a little break, a little breather. Last night, of course, the Oscars, Neil Patrick Harris started strong, I thought.
Check out this place. Check out everything. Check out the glamour, the glitter, people tweeting on the Twitter. And no one's drunk and bitter yet because no one has lost. Look at the diamonds, the dresses, people going to excesses. The stress is on and everybody's fingers are crossed. I know the camera's on and we're behaving our best. Yet I secretly hope someone pulls a Kanye West.
Yeah, no one did, though. That didn't happen.
And he points out into the crowd to Robert Duvall, if I remember correctly, who I don't know that he was awake for much of the ceremony.
I don't think he was either.
Every time they went to Robert Duvall, he kind of didn't follow what was going on.
So then Anna Kendrick came out and she joined him singing. Uh-huh. Is there anything wrong with her?
No.
No, she's perfect.
Perfect, right?
Yes.
And Jack Black in the audience interrupts.
Moving picture.
This is what you sound like. Movies, wow, they rock. This industry's in flux. It's run by mucky mucks, pitching tents for tent poles and chasing Chinese bucks. Opening with lots of zeros, all we get are superheroes, Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, Jedi Man, Sequel Man, Prequel Man, formulaic scripts. And after 50 Shades of Grey, they'll all have leather whips. In a world where our brains are becoming machines, the only screens we're watching are the screens of our jeans.
Yeah.
Screens of our jeans. Screens of our jeans. Yeah. The Alex screens are watching.
Jack Black.
I love that he was on the Oscars, by the way.
I wish
they had more personalities like him and fewer of the boring people who get up on stage. Because Jack brings comedy and energy and a quickness and a wit. He was great.
I don't know any of the best, any of the foreign movies that were even nominated, but I do like the guy that won. His movie was called Ira. He's from Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And he got up there and started giving the speech. And then the orchestra tried to play him off. And he fought off the orchestra and just stood his ground.
A U.S. distributor who did a great job for very little money. Oh, wrap up.
Okay, so right there he knows. That's
so he knows.
My cue to wrap up.
Good. Okay, so quickly to the point. And to my Polish friends who are in front of the TV, the crew, who are in the trenches with us and who are totally drunk now. And you were fantastic. You were brilliant. You carried me through this film. And you are what I love about Poland. You are resilient, courageous, brave and funny. And you can take a drink. And I would like to dedicate it to my late wife and my parents, who are not among the living, but...
So now the orchestra just went, all right, you go.
We give up.
Who are totally...
And now you can't cut off his mic because now he's getting into all of his dead relatives' chunk.
As soon as he gets into my parents who passed away, now and his late wife, now you can't play him off, but they try again a little later.
Who are totally inside this film and they have a lot to do with the film. And my children, who are hopefully watching, who are still alive.
Still alive, okay.
Hey. Thank you. Victor and Maria. Victor and Maria, I love you.
Play him off again.
You are the main prize. Thank you.
Like, they're alive. Play it.
By the way, you know the orchestra is not in the house either. The orchestra is down the street at Capitol Records in a completely separate building where they play for the Academy Awards.
Do you think that they had just a certain amount of music for for the playoffs and they just played it and figured
for sure
he'd be gone?
Yep.
And then they're like, what's going on?
I think that's absolutely what it is. And I do think that my children who are still alive was one of the strangest sentences that came out of any of the winner's mouth last night, along with the guy later in the show who thanked his dog Larry.
Yeah,
that was
happened.
Something I had never seen before on the Oscars.
That happened. Last year, of course, John Travolta said...
Adele Dazeem.
So they brought out Adele Dazeem.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my very dear friend, Glom Gazingo.
Out walks Travolta.
They're giddy like schoolgirls at this point.
I deserve that. I deserve that, but you, my...
All right, now hold it right there. Now, this is where the touching goes on. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
He's putting his hands all over her face, and he's, like, trying to change it into someone else.
He's molding.
I don't know what's happening.
Allie, do you know, are they friends? I mean, do they know each other?
I wouldn't think so. I think that's kind of the joke. Here's my good friend who didn't know my name. Here's my good friend. I don't know his name. I think that's the joke.
Because he is definitely a close talker, and he's definitely all hands.
He's a toucher. He sure is a toucher.
Darling, my beautiful, my wickedly talented Idina Menzel.
You guys!
Joke we just made 30 seconds.
You did it. That was so good. It's not like it's going to follow me around for the rest of my life or anything.
Yeah, tell me about it.
All right, so now they've really beaten the joke to the ground, right?
Okay, so the nominees for Best Original Song are...
You want me to do it?
See, because he screwed it up. The audience is still with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Dick Poop didn't win, did he?
No.
Oh.
I was so disappointed for Dick Poop.
Dick Poop.
He didn't win. And all then right. Sean Penn came out and just, that guy's energy level, man. He brings it.
Well, you want
he's
you
Jack want, Black strong.
You want a closer, Kevin. When you're 3 hours and 45 minutes into a telecast, you want to bring out a guy who's just a lightning bolt just to reinvigorate the room, and that's what Sean Penn did.
Although you have to give the guy credit because when he said the movie titles, it was so boring. He couldn't have cared less.
Yes.
And then when he was able to announce that it was his friend, who is the director of Birdman.
Birdman, right.
This is his punchline.
Who gave this son of a bitch's green card? Birdman.
All right. Now, there were going to be, I'm positive, some people at home who were horrified by that remark, that he was trying to make some sort of a statement about immigration at the time that he was handing out this award. I don't think anything could be further from the truth. First of all, he's a big old lefty, so he's like open borders guy, first of all. Second of all, he's really close friends with this director. He worked for this director in the film called 21 Grams like 10, 15 years ago or something like that. And apparently this is the kind of jokes that they make back and forth toward each other all the time. And it was received that way. It was all in good fun. And the director was asked about it backstage, and he said, no, I thought it was hilarious. So no harm, no foul. It was the only glint of personality we saw from Sean Penn whole time he was up on the stage.
He was so dull. How are you that dull?
But maybe not his joke to make.
What do you mean?
As a white man, maybe even if they are friends, I just, I cringed.
That just felt bad to you?
It felt real bad to me. And then I started thinking about Madonna and that whole thing. And I thought, he's not nice.
Well, he's not
at all.
He isn't nice.
But he's exciting.
Yes, he is. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Allie McKay is here. Hi, Allie.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Get closer to the microphone.
Good morning.
Much better. Go. Ralph Garman is here, too. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
Ah, I've got something cool to give away.
Do
all
you?
Week long, I'm going to give away trips to New Orleans.
Yay!
Wait.
Each and every day this week.
The one in Louisiana?
Yes, that New Orleans.
Oh, that's the best one.
I'm going to be giving away trips for two to New Orleans. Every day.
Yeah, that's sweet.
This includes airfare, hotel, $500 in spending cash, and it's all courtesy of the new movie, Focus, which is in theaters everywhere this Friday. I don't know if you guys have seen the trailers or not for this movie.
Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie.
I need to check
her out from Wolf of Wall Street, Kevin.
Oh, she's the one with the money and the tape and the stuff?
The blonde and the boobs,
blonde?
Yes.
The blonde
and
the wife, yes.
I could have described that better.
No, money and tape brought it right to life.
Did you see the same movie we did?
She plays a con man or woman in this film, along with Will Smith, who's a veteran con man, who takes her under his wing. And the whole thing takes place in New Orleans. So to celebrate, we're going to be talking this week all about New Orleans and also about con movies. That is one of my favorite genres of all movies, is the con artist movie. I love con artist movies.
I'm
nearly
there,
enough
the
of them.
Like the Ocean's 11 franchise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Great. The Sting, one of the all-time greats.
And while we're talking about con movies and Oscars, last night was the Oscars, of course. There was a classic American caper film, a con movie from 1973, that won seven Academy Awards in 1973. He was nominated for 10 and won 7, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Original Screenplay. Here's the theme song from that movie. And then all you need to do is call 1-800-520-1067 and let me know what movie we're talking about. Here's the theme song. There's the theme song. 1973 won Best Picture and 6 other Academy Awards. One of the great all-time con artist movies. Call now with that 1-800-520-1067. First person through with the correct answer to that phone number wins a trip to New Orleans. You don't qualify or anything. Boom, you just win.
That's pretty cool.
That sounds great.
It is going to be great. Thanks for all your help, Bean. and while we're talking
about the stink? The stink! The stink!
While we're talking
don't
about...
Don't say it after he's done the question, Kevin.
While we're talking about the Oscars, one of the highlights by far...
The stink!
Was that...
I didn't know before. After. Now you don't say it.
Yes, Rob.
It was Lady Gaga and her tribute to The Sound of Music. How surprising was it, first of all, that she steps out in a simple gown, her hair done lovely.
Mm-hmm. And looking like a woman.
Opens her mouth and does a straight-up tribute to the music of The Sound of Music.
Beautiful.
I thought it was great. And I love that about the Oscars. I love when they look back at their history and pay tribute in unique and interesting ways. And I thought that was a great moment.
Now, my fear was she was going to come out and there was going to be suddenly half-nude male dancers slathered with maple syrup and she was going to throw feathers at them. And then the Lonely Goat Herder song would come out and a goat would come out and she would ride the goat and eat the goat and wear the goat. I didn't know what was going to happen. But she just sang the song very simply and very beautifully. Her voice is stunning. I didn't know it was suited for that kind of music, but it certainly is.
Very impressive. And she was great on the Grammys singing with Tony Bennett a couple of weeks ago, too. I mean, she's kind of reinventing herself a little bit. Now, Kevin, I wanted to ask you, because you hate all things old, and that movie is 50 years old, but you also played Liesl on the stage production of the music. Mm-hmm. So what did you think?
Boring as hell.
Oh, come on.
Really? You thought that was boring, having Lady Gaga out there singing those songs?
I did.
They're great songs.
I wasn't going to say anything, but if you're going to ask me...
It was one of the highlights of the evening.
I wasn't going to say anything. You guys didn't have your fun.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion, but I'm trying to figure out why you... I mean, they're great songs sung beautifully by a very talented performer. What's not to like about it?
Boring.
Well, we're talking about singing. You don't have Jennifer Hudson go after the In Memoriam and sing her song, right?
No, it was weird.
You make her do it under it. Yeah. While they're showing us the pictures, you let her sing. You don't do a whole slow In Memoriam and then add another slow song after it.
And there were no pictures or clips during it. Usually they play like a sound bite, that type of thing. There was none of that.
It was all courtroom artist renderings.
Very bad.
Yes. Like, they're all in crime.
Someone was doing pastels on the sidewalk of everyone's face. I understand the street art. It was all very confusing.
And that added an extra 4 minutes to the show that
easily.
They didn't have to add.
But regarding, once again, Lady Gaga's music, the morning show in Cleveland, God love him. Love Christy Capel. She is a news anchor in Cleveland, Ohio. She does the morning show there on Fox 8. She was really impressed by Lady Gaga because it wasn't her usual style of performing. I think Christy Capel maybe doesn't know the meaning of the word she's about to use in this clip, but I think her African-American co-host certainly knows what she means. Please take a listen.
It's hard to really hear her voice.
Lady Gaga.
With all the jigaboo music that she do, whatever you want to call it, jigaboo.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, she said that Lady Gaga usually sings jigaboo music.
Not what she thinks it means.
I don't believe it does, no. Christy's in an enormous amount of trouble there in Cleveland this morning. However, I feel she is just a victim of her ignorance, not necessarily trying to inflame anyone with use of that word. However, her African-American co-host seemed shocked as she repeated jigaboo over and over again on the morning news. Yes.
I would imagine.
And then he punched her square in the face, which made for great television. No, he didn't, actually. But
could have.
No jury in the world would have convicted him. Do we have an answer to my trivia question other than Bean? Would someone like to?
I want to go to New Orleans.
Would someone like to try to come up with the answer to our very difficult trivia question this morning for a trip to New Orleans?
Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, did you know the theme song that we played this morning?
Is it the Sting?
It is the Sting. Yes, it is the Sting.
Yes.
Of course, Paul Newman, Robert Redford. Star in the 1973 con artist movie, one of my favorites, won the Best Picture that year. You are going on a trip to New Orleans.
All right.
Thanks to the folks at the movie Focus, which again is in movies in theaters, rather, everywhere this Friday. So congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, okay?
All right. Thanks, Chris.
All right.
What if you knew it before Bean said it?
I don't know if anyone did. So the world may never know. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Josh Gad is 34 years old today. Actress Emily Blunt celebrates her 32nd birthday, as does Aziz Ansari. Dakota Fanning is 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Brian Regan, comedian, in the studio with us. We have The Bachelor Report.
Yeah, hell yeah. You watch The Bachelor, Allie?
I didn't until you tweeted something about it, and I thought, I'm going to watch. And it was the night that the coo-coo-coo-coo.
Oh, crazy. The crazy girl?
Now I'm in.
See? All right.
Now
you'll enjoy this. You'll enjoy this tomorrow.
And I want to ask Bean a question. Are you more excited about Lily Aldridge, Victoria's Secret?
I love her. She's terrific.
Are you more excited about her or the woman that might live on Mars?
Oh, Sue Ann Pien? She's my girlfriend. Are you kidding me? I can't wait to have her back on.
She's still in the cut. They're down to the final 100 from which they're going to choose the 24 that are going to go and live and die on the red planet. She might end up on Mars. Are you kidding me? I love this woman.
How do we get Bean on the list?
I wanted to go. Remember when this thing was announced, I said I'd
We want you to go as well.